Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routine to call the scene, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more. We're table. So many times we give and rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're off the mad in Camelot. We sing from the die of Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sam, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I am Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
King, Sir Fears the Terrible, and the Knights of the Round Table.
What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and a carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Tracks deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop.
Hell, that always cracks me up, King Shaziz the Terrible. I'm such a rotten guy, always trying to talk about peace, hope, and love and stuff. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html. And if you want to go over and visit the People for People Radio Network, all you got to do while you're on the Super Chat Room is scroll down and there's a little banner ad. You can't miss it. It says People for People Radio on there. Click on there and go over there and sub and tell them that crazy King Shaziz the Terrible sent you over there to say hi and stuff. Don't forget to check out Wolf Spirit Radio as well. So, with that said, now I can catch my breath and get on into the show. Avoiding Civil War. That's the theme here today, I guess. You know, there's a lot of things going on out there, and I've been watching a whole lot of movies lately. Maybe I should stop watching movies, but sometimes those movies get me inspired to different subjects out there of importance. And I don't think that a lot of people out there really contemplate on the seriousness of the situation that we find ourselves in these days. And it seems to me that with every new election cycle, at least here in the United States, I'm sure it's in places like Canada and, you know, overseas as well. But the thing is, it seems like every single election cycle, it gets more intense as far as, you know, the political back and forth and stuff. And you got a lot of things going on nowadays, especially with the election of Trump in office there, that, you know, you got some people out there who follow the mainstream media as if it was the complete and utter gospel, and the things that the media says to them and gets them all convinced that, you know, our president's a bad guy, and they'll get out there and they'll protest and do all kinds of crazy stuff. If you kind of look on the opposite side of the spectrum, when Obama got elected, there's a lot of people that didn't like it because they studied up on his how he came to power and all that kind of stuff, and things that just didn't jive with it. But even though he got elected, they weren't out there in the streets every single day all the way through his entire presidency, you know, rioting and beating up on people because they supported this man or anything. They knew that the way that our system works, that you're going to have to tolerate it until the next election and get your base together and go elect somebody else the next time around. Well, he was a two-term president, as we all know, and a lot of the things that went through, you know, the legal system that now have become laws, such as like things like Obamacare, you know, if you like your plan, you could keep your plan, that kind of jazz. We all knew it was a sham whenever he said it, but nonetheless, now the man that came on the scene had promised to get rid of certain things and, you know, make America great again and all that kind of jazz. So that's the short run of the whole entire deal up to the present here. But the thing that really concerns me at this point in the game is that these folks that haven't let go since the election have constantly been, you know, lying on the mainstream media or getting people radical enough to go out there and beat up Trump supporters and all that kind of stuff. If they ever get what it is that they truly want, which is the impeachment of the President of the United States, which right now he hasn't committed no high crimes and misdemeanors to rise to that occasion. So there's, you know, no legal basis for him to be impeached. But they're trying. They're definitely trying. And the whole entire subject of the deep state, you know, people who had been... Let me explain this deep state to you for a second. There's a term called term limits that a lot of people don't realize, that these congressmen and senators, they don't have a term limit. They do have, you know, like elections every couple years or so, as different than the president, which is a four-year term. They have a two-year term, and so every 2 years they get, you know, primaries going on, and then they'll vote in the next senators and congressmen. But there's some folks on there who have been pretty much lifelong congressmen and senators. They keep getting reelected every single year. So some of them have been in power for 30 to 40 years, which leaves a lot of time for them to get the inside scoop and be corrupted and bribed and blackmailed and all this kind of jazz, so it doesn't leave for a fresh crew to come in there and give people the opportunity to have those checks and balances. Basically, if you got on the Republican side, you got a whole bunch of lifers in there that basically are the insiders, the deep state, so to speak. And the on the Democrat side, you got the same thing. These guys are all buddy-buddy, and they're in there for the money system. They're in there for the system itself. And they, you know, they fight against any new guys coming in there trying to change the status quo. They don't want any change, because the change means that they won't benefit financially or power-wise or whatever. So there's a lot of crimes that they get by with. They get by with the two different sets of laws, the laws that would throw you in jail for the same thing that they did, but they don't go to jail. They don't even get their hands smacked, so to speak. Basically, they get by with murder, quite literally. And the people have been realizing that for years and years. People had realized that there's two sets of standards, one for the citizens and one for the government. And so that's kind of got people frustrated. Well, with all the different types of situations that's been going on, you know, every time they try to violate the Second Amendment or even get wind that the Second Amendment is fixing to be violated, the gun sales go through the roof, and people get into these modes where they think the government's out to get them, and they start prepping and they start getting ready for war. You know, they start getting ready to defend themselves against a tyrannical government coming around to round them up. Now, whether this is the case or it isn't the case is irrelevant, because it's the fact that people believe that this is a possibility. You know, if you look back into history and things like what occurred in Nazi Germany, or even over in the Soviet Union or Communist China or whatever, there are stories that had been told, whether they're true or not, it doesn't matter, it's irrelevant. Whether they're true or not, Those stories have been told to the people of America who believe that this is a possibility, that these things could happen. It's back during the Cold War, whenever they starting to tell the American citizens that the Russians were out to get them. The communists are coming to get you. I can't remember what it was called, a red something. They were going to come and get us all. But yeah, or they were going to nuke us, you know. So they kind of constantly left the American people in fear of their safety and their family's safety. And so the American people, they built bunkers. They stocked up on guns and ammunition and supplies. And, you know, they were quite literally ready to defend their homeland. And there's a set of individuals out there who really would like to see a civil war here in the United States. And the Civil War here in the United States wouldn't just be here in the United States. It would escalate into a full-blown World War III type scenario, because once the Civil War broke out over here, things would get a little crazy over there, because we're going to be too busy fighting each other to let alone take care of everybody else out there in the world. And the fact that when we are at our weakest point, while we're fighting amongst each other, there might be those people out there that really don't like America that might decide that they want to attack, the homeland or whatever, which in turn is going to cause a retaliation from the United States back to whoever was involved in the deal. I don't think that a lot of people have actually really seriously thought this thing out, especially the individuals out there who spend their time protesting, trying to overthrow the government via impeachment or whatever, you know. And the corruption that's behind the scenes that is aggravating the other portion of the society that are sick and tired of being either overtaxed or underpaid or whatever, you know, all the different political things that you hear about on a daily basis. I, for one, I'm a French Canadian / Cherokee, who knows what else I got in my blood. You know, I'm basically classified as a white guy, and I'm tired of being called a racist. So that frustrates me, because I know I'm not racist. I don't hate people because of the color of their skin or because of their belief. And I think that years of my action would, speak for the truth of that. But that's not the, that doesn't matter in today's political society, because people, all they have to do is accuse you of being it. Because you may be a Trump supporter, you're a racist or a homophobe or a xenophobe or all this other kinds of phobes. It doesn't matter. What does matter is that you can only push people so far before they finally snap. And so, if me being a peace-loving guy, I get frustrated when all this kind of stuff's going on. And I also get concerned to think about the possibility of a civil war or World War III. I have fear in my heart for my family's safety because of political seasons. Why I can't go out there in my own town and go to vote and know that I could do it safely without somebody who doesn't like who I might vote for wanting to attack me or my family. So the ridiculousness that's going on is quite literally escalating on a regular basis. Every single election cycle seems to get that much more intense, where they're out there saying, this guy's a bad guy, that guy's a bad guy, don't vote for this guy, he's going to steal your granny's wooden leg or false teeth or whatever. You know, and so the people that are watching the mainstream media, who really think the media is going to be honest to them, they believe stories. They believe whatever they're told. And then they go out there and they spread that word amongst the citizens out there. I just had a conversation with my mom about John McCain. And, if you really want to know about the true John McCain, go out there and do your own research. I'm not even going to get into the point, because everybody out there kind of believes he's a war hero. But there's questionable things in his history that would say otherwise. And there's questionable things in his political career that would say otherwise. But once again, it's a case of you're going to have to do your own research in order to understand what it is I'm talking about. Because it's a waste of breath to try to tell people who have been so incredibly indoctrinated by the mainstream media and even the education system, to try to bring them some news that's contrary to what they were raised to believe in. It's impossible. And because a different events in life, it's hard for me to even tell anybody that I come from a Christian background, that I believe in God and that kind of stuff, because today's society, they don't want me to believe in God. You know, just because you don't believe doesn't mean that I have to not believe, you know, and that kind of stuff. If I'm not doing anything to harm you or force my beliefs upon you, then it shouldn't be your problem then. But that's not the way society works. People want to force upon everybody else their views and opinions. If they don't want to be called a man or a woman, or they want to be called some sort of neutral gender thing, and you call them anything different, you could be, in some places, actually charged for a hate crime. You can't say what the school said, that, you know, when you was growing up, that a man's a man, a woman's a woman, and that's the way it works, or whatever. You can't do that these days. They even talk about the fact that you got to have, you know, an extra type of bathroom because you might offend somebody gender-wise. And I don't know how we got to this point in life, but it's not just that. It's all these things piled on to people. And there's people that have been raised differently in their entire lifetime, like the difference between generations. You know, my father-in-law, who's like 80 some odd years old, he was raised in a different time than I was raised in, and his standards and morals, even down to something as simple as a haircut, you know, they didn't grow their hair long when they were back in the 50s and stuff like that. So there's differences there, but there are still people to this very day who had those morals passed along to them all the way up to the present day. Some believe in different types of rights as far as the right to life and that kind of stuff, and other people believe it's okay for abortions and stuff. Well, you mix all these people together and now you already got a debate going on. You start messing around with people's freedom, and you start messing around with their livelihood, and you start messing around with their family, then you start getting people riled up. So these folks out here know every single possible way to divide us. They know every button to push to get whichever crowd riled up. They know what my political leanings are because they use this whole internet, the Facebooks, the YouTubes, the Twitters, and all that thing like that to basically document what I say and do on the internet. They make a profile. Each and every one of us out here on the internet who've been paying attention know that if you use these platforms out here, that there are different entities out there that gather this information up, not just for purposes of advertising to you or marketing products, but to actually know your political leanings, know whether or not if certain incidents come down, whether or not you would be the one need to be rounded up because you might be dangerous, you might be classified a terrorist because of what you think and, you know, the things you say or whatever. I want people to think about that stuff, especially the so-called liberals out there who, you know, it kind of blows my mind because liberal to me is a different term. I'm not going to get into it, but they want to be free. They want to be able to be free to do whatever it is that they want, you know, dress how they want, be whatever sex they want, and all that kind of stuff. But what they don't understand is that they get what they want. This whole entire impeachment thing, not just this particular election, but if they finally get what they want, the socialist society that usually ends up collapsing into a full-blown communist society, look back through history, you'll see that this is the case. They don't even know what type of government they have right now in place. They all keep calling the United States a democracy. We've never been a democracy. We've been a representative republic. And even to the extent that the doggone governors and the congressmen and the senators, they continuously get on TV and tell everybody, we got to preserve our democracy. Well, to somebody who studied the Constitution, to somebody who paid attention in school and everything to how this system actually is supposed to work and has actually served his country, I understand that we're not a democracy and that we've never been a democracy, and I know exactly why we haven't been a democracy. essentially a democracy is mob rules. The majority of the people, if you got 100 people and 99 of them say that one of them should be executed for his speech, well, then guess what? The one's gone. That's the way it works out. Well, with the representative Republicans, kind of different. You got checks and balances going on in there. We've got an executive branch of government, a legislative, and a judicial branch of government that are the differences, the balances of power, so that one can't get more powerful than the other. And when it does get more powerful than the other, then you usually end up with corruption. And that it was set in place in the Constitution that if things ever got so out of hand with this government that it was our, not only our right, but our duty to shake off said government and start off with a new one. And even that scenario right there could be really dangerous because it's the transfer of power time that things get really scary. So, to kind of try to wrap this up in a simple of what I'm trying to get at here, if people out there actually get what they wanted and they get the laws put in place, number one, they diminish their own rights. And they diminish them severely because now they don't have a choice even if they decide they want to do something differently. They don't, there's laws put into place. Every time you go out and protest and you finally get the government's attention, your neighbors like the homeowners association, everybody has to have a blue house. And if your house is anything less than blue, you can be fined or evicted by your homeowners association. If your grass is too tall, you can be fined and so on down the line. But you keep calling the government on each other. And you keep putting more regulations on each other, and eventually somebody in that deal is not happy anymore. Well, all these people who have been gathering guns and ammunition and stockpiling and been told that the world was out to get them may very well one day get fed up and it'd be enough's enough. It's a scary thought. But like I said before, I've watched all these different movies and I see how the people act to each other and the terrible things that people do to one another when they're in serious situations, whether it's starvation or whatever. And you got to contemplate on that as well. Starvation, sickness, crime, everything that could would come about during a civil war, because you can't just go to your local 7-Eleven and get a Slurpee. You can't just go down to McDonald's and get something to eat because you're in the middle of a civil war. When the government's trying to maintain control, you know, continuity of government, you got a martial law situation as well. So now you got your own military out there guarding the streets, and you can't go anywhere like you could before. You can't just jump in your car and go across town and visit grandma and grandpa and that kind of stuff. You're going to have to go through checkpoints and all this. Folks, I hope you really sit down and contemplate on the significance of what it is I'm saying, because we're actually living in some really dangerous times. I'm not a fear monger, but I'm trying to put some common sense out there on the table to get people to think about it before they actually go crazy. Now, my best thing is I hope we never have a civil war. I hope we never end up in World War III, because war is terrible. And the only ones profiting in war are those in the military-industrial complex and the upper echelon, the elite, the globalist, or whatever. They're the only ones that ever profit in that. You don't profit when you're losing your legs and your arms and your family members. You don't profit. You don't profit whenever your neighbors and your friends across the waters get their livelihoods taken away from them or their lives themselves. You don't profit when anybody on this planet dies. And then we got to learn how to start taking care of one another. We got to learn how to start putting these doggone so-called leaders in check. Because they're running amok. They're out there taxing the heck out of the world. They're basically molesting the earth like you wouldn't believe. They're supposedly, we're going to save the planet. We're going to do all these Agenda 21s, Agenda 30s, and stuff like that, where sustainable living kind of thing. And then take a peek at what it says on the doggone Georgia Guidestones and the number of people that they say the population needs to be down to, which means a whole lot of people got to go. The best way to get rid of a whole lot of people is start a war. Start a civil war. Start World War III. Kill off a whole bunch of people. It's mind-blowing that there's anybody in this world that even thinks like that. It drives me insane just to contemplate that there are people that evil in the world that think that they should be able to say who lives and who dies. You know, Bill Gates saying things like, well, if we do a good job with vaccines, we can, lower the population and stuff. And I'm like, what? Did he just say what I thought he said? I mean, if you do a good job with vaccines, you're going to depopulate the planet? Vaccines are supposed to be there to help, are you right? So it makes things questionable. And, when you got industries out there like the groups like Monsanto that are messing around with nature and jacking with the food and stuff like that, and you got other people out there talking about so-called global warming and climate change and all that, and then they're spraying crud in the air. I don't know if anybody besides me has ever paid attention, but if you go outside and you take a really close look at the plants outside, there are burn marks on the leaves. Quite literally, black burn marks on the leaves. And there's definitely a change in the environment. So, if you don't believe me, you need to just go outside, take a look around. This isn't a conspiracy theory, and that's one of the terms that people like to use to try to discourage anyone from even taking a peek at what we're talking about. And if you look at all the censorship going on the internet, people who were talking like this are now getting kicked off of the internet, essentially. Being censored from the platform so that you only have one side of the view. That's the mainstream or liberal side of the view. That's the only information you're going to get from that point on. And when it gets to that point where you're only getting one side of the story, you're not going to be able to decide for yourself anyway, because all you're going to know is what they told you. But really, go outside. Today, take a look around your environment and look for things that are out of place. And then come back and have a chat with me about it. Because what's going on out there isn't natural. If you see these black marks on these leaves, then that's not natural. Something is burning these leaves. And if you think about this whole plan to put things up into the atmosphere to block out the heat of the sun to try to cool the planet down, you aren't concentrating on real science, because if you put all these aluminum particles in the atmosphere up there, there's going to be a magnification of whatever sunlight. You're going to go out there, and instead of the sun being orange like it used to be, it's going to appear to you to be white. White and hot. And the radiation that's coming from that sun is going to radiate from particle to particle of those aluminum out there, and it's going to raise the temperature, not lower the temperature, just like putting aluminum foil in a microwave oven. If you want to see what's actually going on in your atmosphere and why those tree leaves are burning, it's because you got the Fresno effect going on, and you've got quite literally waves bouncing off of these aluminum particles and raining down in the water and setting on the doggone leaves. And then whenever the sunlight's beating down on that, it's burning these leaves and it's killing these trees. That's the truth of the matter. And you don't have to take my word for it. All you have to do is go out there and observe for yourself. Take a look at what they're doing to the environment. These are supposedly the ones in charge, the ones that are out there to do the best job for your benefit and safety and well-being. And so, somehow, we got to get to a point of common sense. We got to get to a point where if you want to save the planet, we are going to have to get proactive and save the planet. There's a deal in Florida going on. And I emailed congressmen and the governor up in that area to try to tell them there is a natural solution to resolve this issue. However, I never got a single response, not even from an average Joe out there, minus the folks that I talk to via my YouTube channel or even here on Shaziz Radio. I never got no response, so apparently they care enough to not even pay attention to what you had to say. But nonetheless, the things that are going on with farming that are causing runoff, that are causing water to get highly nutrient-rich and causing extreme algae growth that then in turn gets worse downstream because they have to relieve parts of the dam so they don't bust the dam and the water goes down and makes it into the ocean on both sides of the fence of Florida. And then that mixes with the normal algaes of the ocean out there in the Gulf of Mexico and so on, and it causes an extreme algae bloom because there's tons and tons and tons of food and nutrients for that algae to grow rapidly. And it's killing off the fish. It's killing off the dolphins. It's killing off the crabs and messing up the wildlife. Well, why am I even bringing all that kind of stuff up? The fact is, when you get to a point where certainly people aren't going to be able to feed themselves, you get to the point where the water ain't even safe to drink, people are going to start looking at the government and they're going to say, what's going on here? You're supposed to be doing this job and you're not doing this job. You're not protecting the people. And they're going to get upset. And when it comes down to shortages of food, you would be surprised at how rotten people can be when they don't have food to feed their family. Now, if this sounds like fear-mongering to you, well, I'm sorry. But you're going to have to pay attention because this is reality. This is where we're heading as a nation, just here in the United States. That's not even counting everywhere else where they're doing the same doggone thing. Industries being able to run amok and the corrupt career politicians that's been in there for 30 or 40 years are basically allowing it by, taking bribes from lobbyists and doing all this kind of stuff. The political system, I don't care which nation you're from, has become so incredibly corrupt that it reminds you of an old mafia movie from back in the day. The gangs or whatever. And you got the police departments dressed up like they're ready for combat. They look more like military than they do, the old law enforcement, the protect and serve guys. And they'll even tell you, they even told the police in the academy that it's not your job to protect the citizens. You're just there to enforce the law. But people think that that's their job, that they're there to protect them. And so other people who are promoting gun control, disarm the American people, they don't realize that when that officer ain't near you and there ain't no gun around you, you're there to protect yourself. And even when that officer's standing right beside you, if his life's in jeopardy, who's he going to protect first? Is he going to jump out and save you? Maybe. But I highly doubt it. It's not his job. His job is to enforce the law. But people don't have an understanding of how their government system works. They don't understand the executive, the legislative, or the judicial branch of government, or their purpose. They don't understand the United States Constitution and what its purpose was. There are folks out there who hate the Constitution. They despise it. But from where I stand, that is the only thing standing between us and a tyrannical government. As long as we get that piece of paper that we can keep using as leverage of what the government can't do to us, then we got something. But the moment that paper is gone, the moment you lose your right to speak, the moment you lose your right to defend yourself, then you're basically the sheep at the mercy of the wolves. And that's just putting it lightly. So if these folks ever get what it is that they want, and they end up with the Civil War here in the United States, all these protesters out there, they're really going to hate the world. They're not going to be happy. I'm telling you, They're not going to be happy. Once they perpetrated all this violence on people just because of their political views, who they voted for, because they're Republican and whatever, you know, or they're conservative or Christians or whatever, and then they finally get what they wanted, and things get banned, and things just change, and the Civil War finally breaks out. Let me be the first to say, nobody cares about your rights in the Civil War. Nobody. Very few people even fought in the first American Civil War. Very few people fought. Go look up a percentage of how many people actually fought. How many people were out there sacrificing lives and would eventually, when it was all said and done, they would be the ones in charge. Just like a second Civil War, very few people will fight in the second Civil War, with the exception of the families that are standing there home fearing for their lives and trying to fight off any intruders that might come to their door. It's not going to be as pretty as it was during the first one. It's going to be worse. It's going to be a nightmare, hell on earth, if it ever comes to that. And so these folks out here that think they're fighting for their rights to protest and their rights to, you know, dress the way they want or act the way they want or be called whatever gender they want, they're not going to be happy in this type of situation because there's nobody there to defend their rights. It's a free-for-all during the Civil War. And if you look at the atrocities that actually occurred on both sides of the first Civil War, people going in and burning entire towns down. The way that people did each other during the first Civil War was terrible. The atrocities that took place in order to get this nation to where it is today was beyond explanation. So if you could only visualize that into a second Civil War, then you would understand why it is that I'm saying we got to find a way of avoiding civil war. So, you don't like Trump. Well, that's your business. That's your opinion or whatever. That's fine. But don't spend your time trying to get this man out of office by any means necessary, hook or crook, because if you actually get what you want, the people who actually put him in office, which at this point in the game were the majority, and you get what you want, that may very well be the tipping point for them when they say enough is enough. And then everything that you thought you were fighting for just backfired in your face because now you're standing in the heart of the Second Civil War. So, Barbara, are you still there? Hello, lady, are you online? Might have your microphone muted. Alright, well, until I hear from Barbara, I just want everybody out there to really seriously think about things. Keep an eye on different documents that are put out there by the president. Keep your eye on current events. Don't let it make you paranoid, because believe me, it can. It really can. Let it keep you in a state of using common sense and wisdom, and proceed with caution. Because we're definitely living in some dangerous times. We're definitely, if not, living in some very interesting times. Barbara, are you back yet? Man, this is terrible for live radio. I think her microphone might be muted. Are you there? I'm typing her a message on Skype. Alright. Oh, she went somewhere. Alright. Anyway, so I know that sounds like a lot of fear mongering. It sounds maybe like a whole lot of worry for nothing. But all you got to do is watch history. All you got to do is watch the trends. Look back during all the doggone protests that were going on in the last year or two. people running around setting fire to stuff, people protesting the police, people protesting each other, people protesting the government, people protesting everything under the doggone sun. And it seems like that's getting more frequent, not just here in the United States, but all over the place. You know, there's people out there like old George Soros, got a lot of money and too much time on their hands, that want to basically reset the world or make the world different, you know. And so in order to do that, it's the whole order out of chaos thing. Create a bunch of chaos, come in there and be the so-called savior of the day or whatever, and you know, you remain in power. These folks have been playing chess with the people's lives for so long. They've been getting by with so many things. And how do we, the average Joe, do anything about it? You know, it's really frustrating, because the deal, when you start to tell people, well, you got to get out there and vote, man. They're like, well, voting, there ain't no reason to vote because the voting's corrupt. Well, if it is indeed corrupt, then follow that vote from your hand to the time where it goes to be counted. Ensure that you go to your town meetings and you keep an eye on everything to ensure that there was a fair count of anything. But if you're not holding these people accountable, if you're not keeping your eye on the wolf or the fox is going to be in the hen house, and, you know, you wasn't watching, so who's to blame? You, the people, each and every one of you, folks think that I'm just one person, what can I do? Well, you know, you can do a lot. You can sit down and write a lot of letters and tell people, you know, you don't appreciate the way they're running the government, or that you suggest that they do something differently or whatever. You can write information, honest, truthful information, not propaganda that you heard off of some doggone crooked media source. Things that you've researched and verified, you put that information out there to people so that they know the truth. Or if they don't know the truth, if they think one side's telling the truth and the other side's telling a lie, at least they got both sides of the story. If this censorship is allowed to stand, what they've been doing to people like Alex Jones, I don't care what you think about Alex Jones. It doesn't matter what you think about Alex Jones. It matters the fact that they're able to shut anybody up. If you're talking about freedom of speech, then it has to be freedom of speech. Even if you don't like what the other guy says. You know, that's the way it works. So, you know, the government can't tell you you can't have political opinions contrary to theirs. There are a few nations left in this world. Go over there and try to say what you say over here and see how well you fare. Over there in the UK, there's a deal going on over there. I can't remember what the guy's name is, but he got thrown in jail for something he said. Spent a lot of time there. And I don't even think that situation's completely over. But, you know, charging people with a hate crime for something they may have said, or, you know, some action they may have taken. Nothing that had anything to do with violence, just the fact that they didn't agree with somebody. And in certain Middle Eastern countries, if you're not the right religion, you could die. If you don't follow a certain deal, you could die. Is that freedom? It's mind-blowing. And, you know, with all that piled in there, I have to wonder, do we even have a chance? Do we even have a chance to fix any of this stuff? I'm hoping so. I'm believing so. I'm hoping that my words, or everybody who comes on this Knights of the Round Table and speaks out and hope for peace, hope, and love and solutions, I'm hoping that those words will resonate with somebody enough where they'll pass those words on and we get something motivated in the right direction. Folks, this world, not just America alone, this world will not survive a second civil war here in the United States. It won't do it. The power vacuum that you always hear about, imagine if the United States really did collapse, and how intertwined the United States money system and military is all over the world. Think about that for a second. When the system collapsed and we're over here fighting amongst each other, to fight for power to see who's going to be in charge, and that power vacuum opens up, and everybody and his brother who has the opportunity to get something that they want in that process, you're going to see something of epic proportions occur worldwide. It's not a good thing. So, Barbara, are you back?
I am back.
Well,
I just, hey there. I was like listening to you. I hear my voice echoing.
Oh, you're good now. It's all right.
Okay. Nope, still hear it echoing.
All right, well, I'll try to turn it down a hair on this side and see if that helps.
Anyway, yeah, I'm listening to this. I feel like, well, I don't have not much to say. You covered everything.
Well, I got it all.
Well, I got a few things popping in and all that. I just want to say hello to everybody who's listening on Wolf Spirit Radio and peopleforpeople.ning.com. It's really good to be here. I was sort of out of the loop for several days. I went out on a trip up to the ocean to do some ceremonies there, some water ceremonies, and just renew and relax my own self and get into the water and, you know, went out in that way up to the Cape and came back and all the poop has hit the fan. And, yeah, before I left, I did know that Mr. McCain, I guess they say they don't name his name because he's not worthy of naming his name, but what you said, he was not a war hero, and and there's information about this guy. You can find it out yourself, like you're saying. We always say do your own research, and you know, to me it's like critical thinking has gone down the tubes, you know. People are just lost their ability to think critically and to discern truth from lies and manipulations from your own freedom and your own personal choices and your own instincts. And, you know, we've talked for so long now on these shows about how we have been over millennia manipulated and led into a ever-tightening corral here. And we are in a position now, deep stuff, heavy stuff is coming, and many of us have been saying, I feel like something's going to be happening, and something big, and you're talking revolution, and I do feel strongly that those certain ones who have been the high mucky mucks up there on the top of the pyramid, the elite, they have their own club, and I'm not one of the elite, and neither are you.
Nope.
You know, we are a special brand of human beings, because we have compassion, and we are concerned, and we have love for the earth and the children and the waters and life. And these people, they don't even have a concept of that. They're in their own club, and it's all about money, greed, and power. And they have to do certain things in order to get more money. And yeah, war is a system that is set up for that machine. And plus, I think I come to believe and feel strongly it's a blood sacrifice, because now I'm seeing very clearly that there is a Satanist situation, what we're talking about. A Luciferian club is part of the elite, and your eyebrows might rise up there, out there when I say this, but you could do your research and you can find that out too. So they need the blood sacrifices, you know. And I always said, a long time ago, I said, we've never been a free country. Never. And yes, I will say America was never great for many. And what this country was founded on was manifest destiny, doctrine of discovery, and the papal bulls. You know, basically genocide and slavery right off the bat. And so, yeah, this country was never great for many. And I just want to, I just want to say, let's make America healthy again.
Let's
just make America healthy again. Let's make the lands and the waters and the air healthy again, our children healthy again. So we have this elite cabal that is manipulating every system that we are ruled by, and we are ruled by every system, the political system, the education system, the religious system, you know, and the financial system, and plus everything else. You can go down the line and see it. We're not free people. We are subjected to mind control, to join this, do that, wear this, act like this, aspire to that, be that, go there, do this. That's what we are not free people. And so the critical thinking is down the tubes. The morals are hitting bottom big time. And we are being manipulated. And I just want to read this thing here because, you know, people joke about the preppers, right? I mean, you know, the big prepper move, right?
Yeah.
Well, these are all nutcases, prepper moves. And like you said, yeah, they have this continual heavy cloud over us about, oh, the terrorists are coming. Oh, these are coming. Oh, ISIS is coming. Oh, the Russians are coming. Oh, this has been across the board.
You made a point a second ago. Let me touch on this for a second. You made a point a second ago about the doggone, elitists being into different types of Satanism and stuff like that. And so that and the preppers, there's something in common with that that needs to be pointed out. It doesn't matter what anybody out there personally thinks or whether the devil is or isn't real, but the fact is that these people who are involved in these certain things, they believe it. See, it doesn't matter what you believe. That they actually believe it. So the prepper who thinks you think's a tinfoil hat nutcase, he believes it because he's been told it. He's been told it by the mainstream media. He's been told it by the alternative media that these people are out there getting him, you know? So I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I had to throw that in there because it doesn't matter what people out there believe, whether they believe in a God or don't believe in a God. These folks that are in these particular organizations, they have belief systems.
Yeah, you have the Skull and Bones, you have the Masons, you have the Luciferians, you have the Illuminatis, all these people are in that same category, you know, then you have the ones who believe that they're in doing good. In the Masons, for instance, they have a front, a really good front, you know.
Yeah.
But there's the hidden door that you go through if you are only one of the club and the elite and welcomed in there. And then you get the real dirty stuff that's going on. But you're not privy to that. So, I mean, we're finding out these things more and more and more. Oh, the Skull and Bones, it's just, you know, Harvard College, bunch of college twerps there, you know, in a club. But there's dark stuff going on there, and every one of the presidents and all political people are involved in this Skull and Bone. I mean, that's a historic thing. You can find that out, too. But just talking about the prepper thing, okay? So the prepper thing is a wave of fear, a wave of preparedness. Get prepared because whomever is going to come, it doesn't matter who it is, you have to be prepared. You have to have your guns in order, you know, if somebody wants to... When all the poop hits the fan and everything goes down, either it's going to be our government or Russia or the terrorists, it doesn't matter. Be prepared because you're going to have to shoot people to keep your own stores of food. You're going to have to shoot your neighbors and all this craziness, right? And so now we have this message from President Donald Trump, who just put out this message yesterday on his White House site. And on his Twitter, which, by the way, I now figured out why that man depends on Twitter ASAP as soon as he got in, because the mainstream media is all fake news, and they manipulate everything he says and does purposefully because they are controlled by part of the elite. You know, there's 22 some blah blah blahs elite there that own all those radio stations, and there's the Mockingbird system, basically, that they tell everybody who's going to talk that day on the news what to say, what not to say, what to focus on, and so on. That's called the Mockingbird system, and that's what we are controlled by, people, if you're watching mainstream media. And so here's what Donald Trump put out. Okay, he said... This is from the WhiteHouse.gov Presidential Actions Presidential Proclamation National Preparedness Month, 2018. National Preparedness Month is a time to focus our attention on the importance of preparing our families, homes, businesses, and communities for disasters that threaten our lives, our property, and homeland. During this time, we also honor the brave men and women who selflessly respond to crises and disasters, rendering aid to those in need. These first responders who work tirelessly to safeguard our nation and protect our citizens deserve our utmost gratitude and appreciation. He goes on to say, over the past year, communities nationwide and across the territories have witnessed and endured damage from multiple hurricanes, wildfires, tornadoes, floods, volcanic eruptions, and other natural disasters. Now, I'm just going to step in there and mention, by the way, that not all of them are natural disasters, but that's another story. He goes on to say the historic hurricane season of 2017 included three catastrophic storms that made landfall within 1 month and was followed by a destructive series of wildfires in California. Combined, these natural disasters affected 47 million people and tens of thousands were mobilized to provide aid, comfort, and assistance. We are also especially mindful of those currently affected by ongoing wildfires in California, Oregon, and Colorado. In spite of tremendous challenges, the resilience of the American people continues to prevail. Tragedies are somber reminders that preparedness is a shared responsibility and that it is critical to maintain readiness. All Americans can prepare for potential disasters by developing and practicing a family emergency response plan, assembling a disaster supply kit, signing up for alerts on mobile devices, setting aside emergency savings, and maintaining adequate insurance policies for their homes and their businesses. The Federal Emergency Management Agency's Ready campaign outlines other important steps to best prepare for a major disaster. This month, I encourage all Americans to take the opportunity to ensure they have an emergency response plan in place and ready to be properly executed. Emergencies and disasters test the resilience and strength of families, communities, and our nation. It is impossible to avoid every challenge and every threat, but we can and must prepare for them. By doing so, we can help protect our communities and save lives. Now, therefore, I, Donald J. Trump, President of the United States of America, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and the laws of the United States, do hereby proclaim September 2018 as National Preparedness Month. I encourage all Americans, including federal, state, and local officials, to take action to be prepared for disaster or emergency by making and practicing their emergency response plans. Each step we take to become better prepared makes a real difference in how our families and communities will respond and persevere when faced with the unexpected. And so on, he says. There he goes. The date he did this was 31st day of August in the year of our Lord, 2018, blah, blah, blah.
I'd like to respond with something for a second on that whole entire deal right there. See, that on the surface to me, it sounds like a really good idea. You should always be prepared. You know, have a little extra food on the deal. But I want to go back to the mindset of the average Joe out there, especially the prepper out there. You know,
right.
You got this mindset out there now. Okay, well, the president seems pretty serious about this. We got to be ready for it, you know? And so this is information that is being used, acted upon by people out there who have now a concern for the safety. You know, anything could happen. The sky could fall. We could have a second civil war. Or, you know, something would go on. So there, you know, where at one point it's common sense, it also adds to the fear factor of, you know, all the information provided, whether it be mainstream media, alternative media. And so the people out there in the world, you know, some people won't prepare. There's actually a show called Preppers where there were people that they said that oh, we're not going to prepare when everything all heck breaks loose. We're just going to go out and take what we want. You see the deal?
I do. And why I'm bringing this up is because of, okay, so here we have a president. Our president telling us, okay, to prepare. This month is National Preparedness Month. Now, I don't know why he's just focusing on a month. Okay, but there's a big hidden message in here, in my estimation. Okay, he's telling us something here, and I think it's very important to pay attention to this. Now, you can go out there and you can prepare if you want. That's okay, that's good. It's good to be prepared for things because, you know, sometimes we have power outages, we have hurricanes, we have floods, we have all kinds of stuff. It's good to prepare. Those are natural disasters, you know. Now, we also have something else going on in our hidden arena here about this, these two factions fighting for power here, control. We have the deep state. We have, I feel, another deep state. Two deep states vying for position here. I'm going to say that that's how I'm looking at it, because why I'm saying, now I'm just going to say, okay, Donald Trump is doing things to take down the cabal, the elite groups that have been in our systems and controlling everything, right across the board, education, political, you know, financial, even the religious thing. As we see what's going on, there's bombs dropping at the Vatican left and right. All that stuff. I do think the Pope is going to retire. He said he was, and now he's being asked to retire by a bishop who just disclosed last week that he knew about this other bishop, pedophilia stuff, and he covered that up. So I think something big in that arena is happening. And then we have the hidden cabal, the FISA and uranium sales with Russia. When there is no Russian collusion, by the way, even Lindsey Graham came out the other day and said in all the studies he's been looking at and everything he's been looking at, the documents, the studies and everything, he sees absolutely no sign, no truth, no fact of Russian collusion. Okay, I mean, you have this across-the-board stuff going on here, right? And so I'm looking at this as he's telling us something. And I think it's because there's something brewing here in our country, in the political arena, that is coming down the pike. Now, with all that I'm learning about over these few years about what is the deep state, what is the dark cabal, what is the Luciferian system, the pedophilia stuff across the board, the pay-to-play, our political people who were voted in because people admired them, because they believed them, because they loved them, or right across the board like we do, foolishly and idiotically, I'm going to say. Because once you get into that system, you are welcomed in through a hidden doorway, and you are told, this is what you will do. You've made it this far. We had something to do with that. Hence, there goes the free elections and the reality of, yeah, our votes count. So you have these people in the political arena who are always, once they get in position, are welcomed into the hidden room and told, okay, we are the ones who are controlling everything here, and you will abide by what we say. Now, that's right across the board. All the congressmen, all the senators, even up to the president and vice president and so on and so forth, secretaries and blah, blah, blah. They are all welcomed into this place. You have to look at it. It's a club. It's the elite. It's big money. It's, you have the lobbyists putting money in these senators and hands. And what some of them, like you said, Shiziz, have been in power in those positions for years, 20, 30 some years. And these people are millionaires. These are your average, everyday senator and congressman, and these people are millionaires. They have lobbyists paying them to vote in the direction that will basically fulfill what the corporations want. So we have this across-the-board controlling faction here in our political system. One thing that Donald Trump said when he was running was, nobody owns me, I have my own money. Nobody can control me and nobody runs me. And I sat up when he said that, because he's right, because I have known that there is a hidden government for so many years now. Now, I called it a hidden government. I knew it was, they were a controlling factor and they were a private club. Okay, now we know that it is in fact being called the deep state. Okay, it's a deep state. People who run our government, who you don't even know about, okay? You think we have a president, you think we have a secretary, you think we have so on and so forth, and it's all good and all clean. Well, it is not. So now we have this going on, and we have this battle. So we have this eliminating. We have congressmen and senators who are retiring and not running anymore. We have so-and-so, this one, we have 34,000 plus now sealed documents ready to be opened up to arrest people. We have people being arrested. We have people being put away. We have across the board pedophile rings and child sex trafficking rings that are being taken down left and right. This is all what Donald Trump is doing. The first policy he put in when he became president was to attack severely and eliminate the child sex trafficking. He signed a policy about that. That was one of his first concerns. So he has people working on that, and it is happening, my friends, which is a good thing. Okay, and Donald Trump talks about making America great again, and my question is, okay, Donald Trump, are you going to stop the chemtrails? Are you going to eliminate the GMOs in our food that are poisonous? Are you going to do away with these pharmaceuticals, with these immunizations that are killing our children? Are you going to help, you know, stop the mass pollution that's causing red tide and everything else that's poisoning us, our waters? That's what my concern is. That's my big question. If you're going to make America great again, you better look at the serious trouble that we are in our health-wise and food, everything, our children and grandchildren and so on. This is the main concern with me. People are being manipulated to be carrying on and screaming about Donald Trump is Hitler, Donald Trump needs to be impeached. That's all manipulation. Donald Trump hasn't done anything actually that calls for an impeachment, legally, lawfully, by the way. If you want to look at that, look it up.
It has to be, it has to rise to high crimes and misdemeanors while he's in office.
They'll find those false high crimes and misdemeanors. Well, what is his high crime is having a, if he did, have a relationship with this prostitute who prostitutes herself, that's her life, prostitutes her body, her sacredness as a woman to people, 15 some years ago, if that's what he did. Well, so he lies how many times, percentages a day? I don't know. That's all this crap the mainstream media is pushing. There is nothing that calls for treason, a treasonous acts, that calls for impeachment. Right. Okay, he went to visit Putin. Guess what? He went to visit Putin and secretly talked to him because Putin gave him information on all the emails, all the contacts, telephone conversations, and so on that he had, Putin's people had, and him himself,
well, see,
with people in our political government that are corrupted.
Back in the day, when Obama was around there, he had a hot mic where he was sitting there telling Putin that, you know, after the election, I'll have more flexibility. Now, you take
that's
that
correct,
you
and he does
do.
Have more flexibility because he put in a law. He Nobody knows this, right? Yeah, what is this ability that a president or people in the political arena, once they are done, they still have an ability?
Security clearance?
That's right. They still have security clearance, but wait a second. There's something else here, what it's called. Let me see if I can find it. It's really fascinating, okay? It's a system that he put in so that he can actually still have control over things, and you wonder, well, what? How the heck? How does this happen? You know? How does that happen?
Yeah, he
you
never
have,
really...
Here it is. It's called SCIF. So, it's, does the Okay, here it is. Presidents and not presidents. Why... possessive. Okay, as an, in president's staff or president's people, so who would be arranging the SCIF for any of the ex-presidents? You know, so let me see if I can find more on that, because that is enormous, and we don't even know that. So basically, Obama and all the other presidents still have this ability to have a power. Not right now, I can't find this, must be hard to communicate.
Well, you're
anyway, so Obama put that in, so you have this question, these people still have control, alright, and these people aren't nice people, and when you find out what's really been going on, when the American people find out what's really going on, and they will there be a revolution? Will that push people to be screaming and killing each other in the streets? I think this is serious, and I think that we are headed for something.
It could very well escalate to that, you know, the whole entire thing. People already don't trust the government. They already don't trust the mainstream media. They're already frustrated with the situation and how it seems like these people can get on, it doesn't matter which mainstream media or alternative media you're listening to, and listen day after day as all these so-called, what do you call them, those, when they get together to have these special councils, and all this information's coming about, you know, Hillary trashing emails and, you know, equipment that's supposedly public information that she ain't supposed to have the authority to get rid of, especially after it was subpoenaed. And yet, here she is, still running for president, still in the situation. No jail time. There was a guy who emailed himself a picture of a textbook so that he could study this for a test that he had coming up, and he happened to be in the military. He got charged with that. All right, and that was it. That's all he did. He wasn't trying to steal or put information out or sell it or anything like that. He was just using it for his studies, and he got charged with it. He got court-martialed.
Right.
Now, she, who was the Secretary of State, basically told people to destroy and bleach bit some information that was subpoenaed by the U.S. Congress, and she didn't go to jail. She didn't get charged, and the FBI and James Comey at the time said, "Well, it's all on intent. She didn't intend on doing nothing wrong. That guy didn't intend on doing nothing wrong either, and he got court-martialed. It ain't about an intent. It's about whether or not you were doing your job protecting the national security. So she broke the law." And she got by with it. The average Joe heard about it, and the average Joe don't think it's right. And so that's what part of the frustration that's keep piling on there. And so if these folks end up getting what they want, and somehow or another they're able to get Trump impeached out of there, which I don't think is possible at this point in the game, but if they do, let's just say hypothetically they do, or worst case scenario, they do the old thing what they did to Kennedy, you know, it's going to spark civil war. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Because people are on edge. They're fed up. They're tired. And here's something I need to point out. The majority of the people out there aren't going to be ones after going to civil war. Most of them, you know, they're just tolerant. They're just going to say, well, you know, the government will work it out. Everything will work out. You know, and then you'll be the people on the other side who always protest any type of war. They're not going to be out there fighting. But there are going to be a small percentage, just like there was during the first Civil War, who are actually willing to step out there and do. They call them three percenters, right? When all heck breaks loose and it finally enough's enough and the government's already running around trying to round up people's guns or, you know, whatever. When the final straw breaks the camel's back and these folks take it upon themselves to basically overthrow the government, it might even be a case of our military splitting in half and half of them fighting the other half. However it works out, we're heading that direction because of current circumstances, because of current information being piled out there on the people. And if it ever comes down to that, I'm telling those folks out there, you better watch what you wish for, because if you get it, why don't you go out there and watch that series Jericho? I've been begging people to go watch that series Jericho for a long time. Because if you see what happened in that, and the reasoning behind all that, and then you think you want to live through that with your family and see how your neighbors would treat each other, you'll get a general idea by watching that movie what it would be like. Life during the Civil War, they had like 10 separate presidents during this movie. They're all out there fighting over power. And the ones that end up winning were actually the ones who ended up starting it. It's kind of a spoiler, but nonetheless, it's still important. The ones that ended up starting the entire situation to begin with were the ones who ended up winning the war. And the danger point come around whenever they started passing out the new school books and the teachers realized, wait a second, this isn't history. Who wrote these books? You better think about it, people, before you allow it to happen. So did you find your deal yet, Barbara?
I did. I'm looking at this. I'm sending this into the chat here, people for people. This is a video that came upon because I went looking for this, researching, because mainstream media was saying that Trump said to the evangelists, he had a meeting with evangelists, he said, if you don't vote in this midterm, if you don't vote Republican, there's going to be violence. And that's not what he said. He didn't say it that way. Here's the real download on this. I'm popping it in so people can see for themselves. Now, I have to say, the guy who's talking about this is a really... He really is a very passionate person about the wrongs here that are being done and how the mainstream media is manipulating this message. But he's also a very deeply religious person. And toward the end of this video, he goes on to start quoting revelations and prayers. And you don't have to, it's up to you. You don't have to watch the whole thing. I understand or understand his passion and his prayers and so on. The main thing I want people to hear and to watch is what exactly President Trump did tell these evangelists. One thing he said to them was, you people need to stop fighting amongst yourselves. We are dealing with an evil here that is beyond your comprehension. And, you know, what they want to do, what this cabal elite want to do is to take away your freedom of religion and your freedom of speech. And so that's what he was talking about. You'll see that, right? And I'm just saying the way that things are manipulated to make, you know, to make what this president is saying, he's speaking the truth about that, the Dems, the deep state and the Dems, not all Democrats. We have to make sure people know that. To make sure that not all people that are Democrats are bad and not all people that are Republicans are bad. There are those factions. But this is what he's talking about. He's talking about where we are heading, the deep state. What they are working to do is to take our freedoms and our rights of not only of our religions, but our freedoms of speech and other things across the board, and they want war. They do want that revolution, and they do want that war. They are the mongers, the warmongers. These are the people. And here's my concern. Now, I'm a spiritual person. You know me.
Yep.
I don't have a religion. I don't follow an organized religion. I broke through away from that a long time ago when I was 10 years old. I believe that all religions organize people. I believe that it is, in a way, an intrusion, and something corrupts the people's ability to connect with the Creator Great Spirit that is their right to begin with, and that's how we are born. We are born with that relationship and that connection. No one, no religion, no other person has the right to tell you how to get to God, how to get to Creator, how to pray, what to do, to tell you you're a sinner, and they have the answer. There's no such thing. So that's why I'm saying organized religion is different as compared to spirituality, okay? And you can do what you want to do. If you want to belong to a church, that's up to you. This is my perception and this is my sense of things. So now here we have Donald Trump and the whole faction of patriots and standing with him, the intel, and certain people in the Pentagon, generals and so on, that are really in this arena of religion, okay? This concerns me very deeply, okay? Now, apparently some Mark Taylor and other evangelists had prophecies that Trump would become the president and that he is fulfilling some biblical prophecy. And frankly, I can see a lot of that is lining up. Okay, that part's lining up. Then we see indigenous prophecies lining up. We see the prophecy of this is going to be the last pope. We see that unfolding. We see, you know, a prophecy, biblical prophecy that said that this, the gematria, I'm going to go to the gematria. The gematria is ancient Hebrew coding of numbers and names and letters, saying that this Donald J. Trump's initials represent a person who will eliminate and destroy evil. Now, this is ancient coding. This is not coming from me. I'm just saying. So I'm looking at all these things. The big thing here, people, is my concern about this manipulation of religion into our life. Their perception of what we should be doing. Now, take the Ten Commandments. That's the way we should live our life. Anything else beyond that doesn't matter to me. It's pretty good, those Ten Commandments, if we could all live that way, with love and compassion and so on and so forth. That's pretty good. That's all you really need. But this whole thing about the religious push, because it's these people's perception of how God or Jesus wants them to rule the world. And this is it, flat out. And it's called the family. These groups of people, they're all across the board, political, religion, businessmen, and so on and so forth, and military people that are in this so-called system called the family, and their determination is to basically, they claim they are the ones. It's basically just like the other deep state. We are the ones who have it all. We know how to run this government, and you people must follow what we say, and we're heading for the whole world. That's one world order. So this is why I'm sitting on the fence about Donald Trump and about the whole movement, the Great Awakening, because there's a lot of good things in there, but I have these questions, and there's kind of funny stuff going on here with this whole manipulation of religion. I'm just telling you what I've come to realize in this last month about this whole thing. Because I told you people I was on the fence. I was sitting on the fence. I'm watching all the stuff. I'm saying, yeah, I see the things that Donald Trump is doing, like making this policy about taking out the sex trafficked children, child sex trafficking and pedophilia, and taking out the deep state and the Luciferians and the evil and disclosing all these factions in our government. And other governments, by the way. And then I see the other side.
That's,
you know,
another reason why people should actually go see that series Jericho.
Yeah.
Because in that series, it shows where it looks like good guys turn out to be bad guys. Well,
Not
just that series, but there's also a series out there called The 100, and it's kind of a space sci-fi movie, but nonetheless, it still has some of the same things that I'm talking about relevant to, you know, a Civil War type situation and wars and politics.
Well, they need us fighting each other, you see. They need us depleted. They need us down. They need us confused. They need us angry. They need us spinning in order to control us. If you step away from that and don't play the game, your critical thinking comes back suddenly. You're able to have critical thinking. If you step away, get away from the media that is brainwashing you and the political system and everything that is ruling and running your mind across the board, like what you should eat, what you should buy, what you should wear, what you should aspire to be, plus who you should vote for and who's right, who's wrong, who's bad, who's good, and what church to go to and what to believe in. Is there a God? There isn't a God. Is there, you know? Get away from it. Your critical thinking will come back so that you can step back in and you can look more clearly and get discernment on what the heck is really happening. But again, I have to emphasize this overall push in this arena now for this basis of religion. And why I'm saying that is because what they're starting to point out is that anything that is not of their religion is Luciferian. That means people like me, okay, because I practice the sacred way of ancient people, the Lakota people. That's my life. That's my way. But remember when the Europeans came here to Turtle Island and the priests came and told the Indian people, you're devil worshippers, you're heathens, because they weren't Christian? Well, guess what? They were Lucifer in disguise. They are the devil worshippers. They are the Luciferians. And here they are telling these Indian people, the nations of the people here who were following Creator's Law of One, Great Spirit's way, living on the land in harmony and balance and respecting things, okay, that they were heathens and devil worshippers. But guess what? They're in disguise. They are the ones. And I'm just telling you, we have to be very careful about this whole system now of controlling who we pray to or how we pray.
Yeah.
If you're not following this religion, what they're saying is the religion you must follow, you're going to be called a devil worshiper. Well, okay, so you have, for instance, you have many ways of the people, indigenous people specifically, who practice and pray in their way. And this was banned and outlawed. And now, of course, we have freedom of religion. But now, to me, it's looking like only freedom of their religion.
Yeah, and you know, the only thing that we're even asking anybody out there is what you mentioned earlier about critical thinking. We're not trying to advocate anybody getting violent or crazy or anything like that. We're trying to advocate common sense, you know. And as far as the spiritual journeys that you each on, I think that we all need to respect one another's spiritual journeys. You know, maybe I don't agree with everything that everybody from other religions or I hate the word religion. I don't like it because I'm not a religious person. I'm a spiritual person. I mean, I call myself a Christian. I believe in what Christ taught, but you know, I'm not out there trying to say that my way is the only way and I'm right, you're wrong, that kind of thing.
Well, because if you really know what Christ taught, it was the same as the peacemaker taught.
Yeah.
It was the same as the white buffalo calf woman taught. So these are spiritual beings sent by Creator, I believe, to really help us and guide us into the way of living here on the earth. But now you have this organized religion being documented as this is the one way, and it's the way that they are saying in their perspective that we have to live, and they want this for the whole world. They're going to control under this premise, but it's really about controlling and about the top-notch people still. So I'm just looking at that, and
well,
I just wanted to...
A lot of terrible things were done under the guise of a religion, you know. Jesus said to love thy enemy. He didn't say go out there and kill thy enemy, you know, he'd say that, you know, and that message resonates with me. That's why, you know, I say the things that I do, but I'm trying to somehow or another send a ripple out there of some words of wisdom for people to keep that discernment going and keep the critical thinking going. Don't allow anybody, including myself, to manipulate your way of thought. You know, I'm not trying to manipulate you. I'm trying to share information, my point of view from what I'm seeing going on in the world, and trying to, as a warning to the world of, we don't want to go down this road of the Civil War kind of scenario. We do not want to do that. I mean, movies are just movies, but if you watch these movies and you actually sit back with critical thinking and you think about times in history, such as like during the Y2K episode where people thought that they weren't going to be able to get no fuel for their cars, and there were lines of cars at gas station, and there were people out there in parking lots fighting over a place in line because they were afraid they weren't going to get no gas. And that was just one situation. That wasn't all of them. There were times during the Iraq War or during the Arab oil crisis and stuff where people were fighting over, you know, they couldn't get to the gas station, or they got to the pump and it was empty, and You know, there was a lot of things that were going on at that time. Just because people thought they weren't going to be able to get the resources, they were willing to act a certain way that they normally would not have acted. Now imagine that scenario magnified, such as your kids are hungry, you go to the grocery store, there's people at the grocery store, they're all fighting over the last loaves of bread and bottled water and such, and you can't get no food for your kids. What are you going to do in that instance? If you were a prepper or, you know, one of the Native Americans or even the Amish community who had spent their lifetime, basically they were preppers. They were the first preppers. They used wisdom and they stored up over the summertime food that they would get through the wintertime. So they were prepared for things to occur. But modern society, where everything is like you can go to the store and buy things on demand and fast food and all that, you know, people got complacent and their refrigerators may not have more than a day or two's worth of food in there. And the knowledge that the actual stores themselves, they only keep 3 days worth of supply on there, and then they restock every third day or so. They'll restock that store. But during a situation such as what we're talking about, you can go look in situations like Katrina or any other event that happened like that. There are natural disasters or whatever, and you had situations where people couldn't get nothing from the store. And then you saw situations where people were willing to fight each other, even kill each other, over resources.
Well, we have, you have, I think civil unrest is going to occur. I think they're heading us that way. And they could also possibly retaliate by knocking out the power grids, water supplies, and so on and so forth. We have EMPs, we have, you know, all this stuff happening, being prepared for what, you know, being put up. And there were missiles fired already. There was an attempt already, several attempts, on President Trump's life, you know?
Yeah.
Through missiles, firing of missiles. I mean, I'm just saying, there's stuff brewing here that we just have to be really alert and aware and be in a good place and remember that we're in this together, you know, and stop with the, you know, hate mongering and stop with the divisiveness, because this isn't going to help us. We're going to need each other.
Oh,
they
yeah.
want us divided.
We'll need each other a heck of a lot more than people realize. Because if that situation ever plays out, man, I'll tell you what, I don't want to live through it. You know, I do want to live through it. That's not what I'm saying. But I don't want to have to, you know, try to every day be on complete edge, because it's a real life situation where anybody at any given time could come onto my land and try to hurt my family, you know. This is why the preppers do what the preppers do. You can call them tinfoil hat wearing nutcases if you want, but they've been told for years through the alternative media and through the mainstream media and even the government itself that there were people out there, terrorists behind every bush trying to get them and stuff. So you can't blame these folks for wanting to protect their Second Amendment. When you got places like Chicago, the people out there killing each other on a regular basis, and one side of the group saying, well, we need gun control, and these people won't be killing each other, but you got the other side of the group says criminals aren't going to want to give their guns up, and so why should I? Because I want to protect my family. Folks, it's common sense. You know? You don't lay down your sword until the war's over, and sometimes even after the war's over, you do what the military does, and you have it there as a deterrent so that the people don't do terrible things to you that they would have otherwise, thinking you're weak. There's a deal called mutual assured destruction that is set in place that we kind of decided amongst all the superpowers that, you know, we're going to destroy everything. If you think you're going to get it, you're wrong. We'll launch everything we got. You'll launch everything you got. We'll just destroy it all and ain't nobody getting nothing. So it'd be best for you not to go to war with us. So however you look at it, the average Joe didn't have a voice in that. I didn't say I wanted to mutually destroy the entire world because I didn't want, you know, another country coming over here conquering us. I don't want another country. I don't want to go over and conquer another country. But this is the way the mentality of the folks that are actually in charge out there, and even the ones who ain't actually in office but have financial power through all the banking systems of the world, because they're rich. And there's a saying out there, he who has the gold makes the rules. Well, the one who has the gold ain't making the best rules in your best interest. The one who has the gold is making the rules in the best interest of his wallet. It's that simple. And so you got to decide, as the people of the deal, just like that guy on that grasshopper on that Bugs Life deal, where he said, those ants outnumber us 100 to 1, and if they ever figure that out, our way of life changes. And that's what you, the people, have to realize, that you outnumber the elite of this world, thousands, if not millions, to one. And if you ever figure that out, and you ever figure out your true powers, then you won't allow these things to occur. You'll hold these people accountable for their actions. I'm not saying going out there doing public lynchings or, you know, out there assassinating people. That's not the way it works. But these folks, they pay attention when a massive amount of people stand up and say, no, we're not going to tolerate that. They don't want that. And especially here in the United States, they don't want that, because they realize how powerful and how armed the American people are, and they don't want it. As a congressman or a senator, would you want the American people in an uproar against you because you just took away their freedoms? No, you don't want that. That's why they do it under the table. That's why they do it incrementally, so that everybody thinks that, oh, well, we agreed on this, you know. This whole Patriot Act or National Defense Authorization Act, all these different things that they put into place to set in, you know, rules like martial law and different parts like the Agenda 21 and the Agenda 30, where they're actually talking about where the United Nations can come in there and declare your land as a reserve, and so you don't even own your land anymore. They're going to tell you can't live on your land. It has to be preserved for nature or whatever. Where at one point, that might sound good, you're protecting the environment, but on the other hand, you're getting shoved into cities, into situations where you no longer have rights to protect yourself or say anything against the government. You're shoved inside this city and you do what you're told. You know your place and you shut your face. That's what the situation's going to be. And how many of you think that you are calm and collect enough to be able to keep your mouth shut if somebody's smacking your kid around or somebody's smacking your wife around telling them to get in line? You think about that. That's the kind of mentality that these people up there at the top believe that they have the authority in the best interest of humanity to be able to either tell you whether you can have one or two children. You know, think about, go over there and do some research on China's policy about how many children that they're allowed to have. Do some serious research on it. Find out whether it's truth or fiction of what they do to, you know, extra children that are born, or what they do to the parent who has too many children.
What they do, especially to the female babies that are born.
Yeah.
They just, you know, they're the worst. The female babies are not acceptable, so they just put them in a pail of water. I mean, this is the stuff in China. This is what's happening. I I'm thinking about, you know, the... now I lost my train of thought, but I guess where we were talking about before is like where we're heading, you know, and what we're talking about is not easy.
No, it's not.
It's not fun. It's not a fun subject, is it?
No, and we got to tiptoe around. We're walking on eggshells to not sound like fear-mongering, tinfoil hat-wearing conspiracy theories, because those are the labels that society had put on people like us who were awake and aware of situations and actually vocally speaking out and saying, look, this ain't right. We got to stop this. I want to protect my environment. All right? I love nature, but I don't want to pollute my environment by doing something that's scientifically a disaster area. These folks don't know what they're doing. You know, if you're wondering why the sun is as hot as it is right now, you go out there, you get you a magnifying glass, and you
Much harder.
Yeah,
it's changed within the last few years. I've noticed myself, and other people we've mentioned it about just being in the sun for a little bit. You know, just a little bit, the intensity of the burning is. Yeah. More than I've ever experienced.
Well, put a little tiny piece of aluminum foil into a microwave oven.
Yeah, exactly. And well, we all know that aluminum foil is aluminum, which is a poison. It will kill you. Eventually, it causes disease and sickness. It's aluminum.
You're spraying all this kind of crud in the air, which you're putting this layer of a supposed cloud up there. But if you ever looked at a Fresnel lens and how it focuses energy, when that sun's beaming down on that material that they use to try to block out the sunlight, it's backfiring, and it's backfiring with the vengeance.
Well, you know, the whole thing with the Georgia Guidestone stuff and the... knocking down the population. I think they've been incrementally doing that with all this stuff. Well, with the polluting of everything, and the pesticides are sickening everything in the foods and the air and the waters, and so, and the diseases, and this strange virus coming up, and that strange virus, the CDC doesn't know what the heck is going on, and they don't know what they're treating people for.
Well, if people don't believe this, all I'll tell them is go outside and take a really close look. I mean, get your magnifying glass out or your bifocals.
Well, I had that on my maple trees years ago, and other people now too. There's these black marks.
Yeah, they're
black
burn marks.
Rings.
They're chemical burn marks. And also look at the population of Japanese beetles eating the leaves. I mean, if you go look, these leaves.
Oh my God, we had Japanese beetles last year. Not so much this year, but last year it was like a plague of Japanese beetles.
That's
like
because,
a plague.
That's because nature's off balance.
Nature is way off balance. Yeah.
And if we don't get it in check. If we don't get it in check, the little bit of damage that you're seeing right now, which isn't a little bit, it's a lot, quite literally.
It's a lot, because we're just seeing a small portion of it. It's really worldwide.
Go out there and take a good long look at your leaves. If there's a whole bunch of holes in that thing, you can see all the way through that leaf. It's almost transparent now. And you see them Japanese beetles out there eating that leaves, and then look at the other ones that are still in existence, and you see burn marks on there. Look at all the different plants.
It's really, if you want to find out some of this, what we're talking about, you can Google this video that was out many years now. What on earth are they spraying? Just Google that. YouTube, what on earth are they spraying? And it's a documentary done quite a few years ago on the chemtrails and what's in the atmosphere and how it's affecting organic farming.
Well,
deliberately affecting.
It used to be a conspiracy theory, and then they turned around, and nowadays it's out there. They're actually admitting to it, you know. And so
that's what they do. They create the problem. Everybody screams about it and carries on, and they call you a conspiracy nutcase. And then they come up with a solution. They say, okay, we have a solution to global warming and to the heat index and all that stuff, and we're going to spray the whole sky with this aluminum, barium, whatever's, and that's coming out from a Harvard professor there, a scientist, you know.
Yeah.
So they give you, they create the mess, and when enough people wake up and identify that it is poisonous and hurting us, then they turn around and say, well, we have a solution now.
They were doing it way before it was ever admitted. They've done all kinds of, there's all kinds of government tests and everything from the flu to whatever that they sprayed out there in populations to see how fast that it would spread. They really seriously did that to people. Folks.
Gaz has a question here. He says, how do we stop 5G, Shaz? That's the biggest thing on mankind's agenda. It's got to be stopped, and that's a very powerful and big.
That's about the time that the whole tinfoil hat wearing deal might actually come into being a popular thing.
Well, yeah.
You know, I'm serious.
No, I hear you.
You know, it, you might have to run around with a doggone Faraday cage on your head in order to keep, you know, make a ball cap with a window screen built into the cloth of it, you know? I mean, I know that sounds crazy, but these, you know, radio waves like that are affecting us now, you know, at something like that where they're actually talking about being able to, you know, basically control somebody's mind, put ideas in your head. And for people that think that that's a conspiracy, look up the talking billboard. Seriously. Check it out. I mean, it's out there. It's actually technology that they put on. It was on a show one time about, I don't know, it was like ghost hunters or something like that. That they there were people that walked past this billboard and they would hear some people talking, but they didn't see nobody. And it was the signal that they were sending out of that billboard that your mind could pick up, but your ears, you didn't hear it like you normally would. That's technology that really exists. And it's scary technology, because if you think about all the people who think they're going mad, maybe you're not going mad. Maybe you are being targeted. Maybe these people are actually talking in your head, you know, thinking it's funny. But, you know, for experimental purposes or even for war purposes. There's a story out there about in Iraq where supposedly the really tough guys, the Republican Guard of Saddam Hussein's you know, military was trained really well and everything. And there's a story out there how whenever the American military come over, that these guys were crying and coming up and hugging the soldiers, you know, being glad that they were getting captured. Now, how does that happen in any wartime event? Was there technology being used during that time? Or is it just another one of them tinfoil hat wearing stories? How are we going to know? Well, I'll tell you one thing. Scientifically speaking, there are technologies that exist today that would blow your doors off if you knew they were real. And that's a fact. Their governments are usually years ahead of us here, the citizens, as what we got available to us. But if you understand it, like to try to answer his question about, you know, the 5G, you're going to have to figure out a way to maybe actually make you a Faraday cage hat if that situation doesn't get solved, you know, some way politically where they actually say, nope, we got to shut this down because it's too dangerous or whatever. Because I don't think they're going to do that. I think the corporations will snowball everybody, like saying, oh, no, cell phones. You might get a tumor, but it's probably going to be years down the line. People, you realize how many people walk around with cell phones up the side of their head?
Well, here's information. I popped it into the chat about electromagnetic radiation, about how to, what it is and all the systems that we are under and what, you know, how to prevent some of it or protect from it. For instance, here's children in a high-tech classroom. We're complaining of these following symptoms: dizziness, irregular heartbeat or racing heartbeat, weakness, anxiety, fatigue, feeling faint, difficulty concentrating, chest pains or pressure. Now there, he's talking power lines, Wi-Fi, microwave ovens, cell phones, you know, across the board, everything that we are subjected to. Electromagnetic radiation may cause cancer.
One solution that you could actually really employ if you're seriously worried about it. I live in a metal building, all right, and my cell phone coverage in here stinks. If it wasn't for the fact that I got wireless routers and stuff like that, I couldn't even use the internet wirelessly in this place, and I can't get a signal. So buy yourself a metal building, or if you already own a house, get you a doggone aluminum siding or something, and you'll notice that your cell phone signal is going to stink from that point on. You're going to have to go to a window or outside in order to make a phone call. But if you're worried about 5G and all that kind of stuff, put yourself in a doggone metal building, and you'll be all right with that deal. It's just when you go outside, you have to have your doggone tinfoil hat on like everybody else. So.
Oh, you're breaking up.
Oh, I can see you. All fine. Right.
You're breaking up.
Oh, well, just go ahead and keep on talking then.
Okay, well, there's some things. Do you know that there's such a thing? This is interesting. There's actually a term called nomophobia. Nomophobia is the fear of being without your phone, your cell phone.
Well, that's a new one.
Nomophobia. Yeah, there are natural ways. You know, you can keep this stuff away from you and don't use it and unplug appliances when not in use. Don't sleep with your cell phone. Don't wear it on your body. There are pecans, pomegranate seeds, rosemary, asparagus, blueberries, walnuts, broccoli, prunes, cinnamon, dates, cilantro, holy basil, all these things, spirulina. Avoid Bluetooth headsets and use speakerphone instead. Try earthing, okay? Direct contact with the earth. You know, be on the earth more. And, I'm just looking for the... Avoid halogen and fluorescent lighting, you know, this new light bulbs. What's with those? What do you think on that?
Well, you know what? There's all kinds of radiation going on around us constantly. And so to pick out which ones are actually doing the most harm or least harm or no harm at all, that's going to take a lot more research, basically years of testing in order to be able to figure out what's safe and what isn't safe. But isn't it crazy that we, we're sitting here talking about avoiding civil war, and it's not just civil war that we're trying to avoid. We're trying to avoid all the adverse health effects of people who supposedly were there to represent us, allowing corporations and companies to do all kinds of crazy stuff, basically use us as guinea pigs. Now, if I'm sitting here saying all that kind of stuff and I actually believe this is true, then, you know, I'm like, I sound like a super chronic paranoid schizophrenic nutcase, but if you talk...
Well, that's where they've brought us to deliberately so nobody will listen to you. There you go. You're just a wacko nutcase, and I'm here with you being one, too.
Is it any wonder why people aren't arming up and buckering up?
Here's this from Scientific America. There are some materials that can block the radio waves that the transmitters generate, okay? So, for instance, radio-controlled car and its corresponding remote control with batteries, cotton, such as a piece of clothing made from cotton, aluminum foil, plastic wrap, wax paper, and rubber gloves. So we're going to be all wearing this stuff. We're looking like a...
There's another thing that you can do as well if you want to actually go through the process of building you a low-powered transmitter. You could actually put a low-powered transmitter that the magnetic waves would slow down any other higher waves by colliding into them. So you could actually build the equivalence of a force field around your body and your property or whatever. Because those magnetic waves are going to interact with each other. So there's things out there. You know how, like, they actually block cell phone in certain areas whenever they got a deal? Well, they actually have a signal that they can beam out that will interfere with a cell phone. So you're not even able to get a signal because that cell phone signal has to be at the right frequency when it hits a repeater or, you know, your phone, in order for your phone or the repeater to understand that signal. So if you send a wave out, it don't even have to be any specific frequency range, just a slow magnetic wave you send out in a pulse, any signal that tries to come in there is going to get disrupted. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but they're just talking about cell phones here, the transmitter, and if you fully enclose this in a container made of highly conductive metal like copper and aluminum, for instance, you can, that reflects and absorbs the radio waves. You know, that's one way, but we're talking about these huge 5G, terminals. I mean, you're going to have to be wearing this stuff.
Well, those waves are moving in fast, all right? And how a microwave is actually slowed down is from whatever atmosphere that it's running into and the Faraday cage. If you actually look at the front part of your microwave oven, there's a little screen inside there where you can actually see through the screen to watch your food. But any stray waves that come out there get disrupted by that cage, the Faraday cage, and they get slowed down. So when it comes out of that microwave, it's no longer a microwave anymore. All right? It's slower. And that's the key to how, if there is a 5G wave coming towards you, you put another stronger magnetic wave out there, and it's going to bash into that, and it's going to slow it down. And all these radio waves, the reason why you can't transmit with your cell phone hundreds of miles, and you only can go maybe 5 or 6 miles to the nearest repeater, is because when that wave goes out, it's smashing into the atmosphere and it's slowing down. Then the slower it gets, it changes its frequency. It's not a fast wave anymore. And by the time it gets far enough out, it's still there, but it's a slower wave and you can't pick it up. So if you understand that, then you know how to defend against it. So,
well, I read a while back that these newfangled energy saver light bulbs are not good, that you should go back to the old fashioned ones, you know, which are getting harder and harder to get, basically.
Oh yeah. I went to Walmart, I couldn't find a tungsten element bulb to save my soul.
That's right. I've been collecting them for years. You can't find them anymore.
And they're getting harder to come by.
Oh, but guess what? You know, the dimmer switches are bad news. You know why?
Well,
it's about squeezing the power. When you squeeze the power, you start to get more radiation produced.
Well, I was thinking pretty much that same thing, because at the frequency range that they're running, you'd actually be dialing it up or down. You could actually change the frequency with that little knob.
Yeah, I mean, you're supposed to really remove the
electrician.
To remove that dimmer component and turn it into a basic on and off light switch.
Our power is going at 60 hertz over here in the United States. Overseas, I think they use 50 hertz over there. But if you actually look at how a fluorescent bulb works, or even some of the newer LED systems, they have step-up transformers in there that will raise the voltage up and lower the current down so that it don't burn the LED out, or to energize the gas inside the fluorescent bulb. And so when you're turning that up and down, you can actually hear those transformers up there humming. It's changing the pitch on there, so you can audibly hear a difference in the sound. So that's changing that frequency of that energy to a higher frequency at that point. You see what I mean?
Well, looks like a really good site here. It's out of Australia. It's how to you know, detox and reduce your electric magnetic radiation in your household. So I just popped that in to you also. You know, they're talking about battery operated. Get a battery operated alarm clock.
Yeah.
You know, replace the clock radio. I mean, there's everything across the board that we are using today.
Well, they still use that. They still sell those wind up analog clocks. That'd be just as good. Don't forget to wind it up.
And you have baby monitors. I mean, you have all this stuff that is radiating us, you know. It's across the board. New flat screen monitors, you know, they say they're very good when it comes to radiation. I didn't know that. They don't emit much at all, in contrast to the old-fashioned tube TV.
You know, whenever you sent this link over to me, I got to bring this up because this is really important. This has to do with censorship. When I clicked this up there, at the very tip top, my browser says not secure. So this particular website, they say it's unsecure. Well, that's one of the ways that companies like Google can ensure that they can guide traffic to the websites that they deem to be worthy or not.
Now, I don't have that. I'm looking at that site, Australian Natural Health. It doesn't say anything about this as an unsafe site.
What browser are you using?
I'm using Chrome.
All right, well, I'm on Firefox at this particular point in the game.
Yeah, I'm using Google Chrome right now, so I didn't have that problem. I don't know if it's got to do with, interesting.
It's those secure server certificates that certain ones will read differently. Like, if you got a JavaScript on your website, even though you paid for that secured server certificate, the SSL certificates, even though you paid for that to say that you've got a clean site, well, there's if you put a JavaScript on there, certain browsers will read that that JavaScript is not secure and tell your people who come in to see your website that you don't have a secure site. I found that out the hard way because on Shaziz.com, I put a little deal on there for JavaScript for a chat or a radio player deal. And because the one was going from Chatango that they're HTTP instead of HTTPS, it deemed my entire site as unsecure just because of that one code. So I had to take it out, and I had to use a redirect link to send it over to this site that is on HTTP. The Weebly site, who now sold out to somebody else, they have a secure website, but it because it says HTTP on there, that it don't it tells people my site's not safe. Well, they've been sitting there telling me that I need to secure it, that I need to get that SSL certificate for my Weebly site. But at the same sense, the moment I turn it on, it tells everybody that my site isn't safe.
Uh-huh.
So I had to turn it back off.
Right.
And that's the way that they're doing it. There's nothing unsafe about ShazizRadio.com. You know, the Chatango codes, they're HTTP. And so because that JavaScript is on there, that Chatango apparently makes my site not safe. It's crazy. But we've been using this.
Well, I've looked at searching occasionally on, whatever. I don't know which I was on, whether it was Firefox or Google Chrome, but I would come up on a site and alarms started going off and a voice message would start speaking to me that I'm in unsafe territory, this is an unsafe site, blah, blah, blah. And I couldn't get out of it. It wouldn't let me out. I had to actually shut my whole computer off.
Yeah, there are sites out there that have programs, JavaScript programs on there. There's like that... that's how they'll load a cookie onto your site, and you'll get this little red X, a red circle with a white X in the center of it, and it says that you got a virus. Well, it's a scam. It's not a real virus. They loaded a program on your computer when you went on that site that told you they had a virus, and you click here, and it'll take you to the site, and it'll remove the virus for you, which is a scam.
Exactly. Yeah. So I just popped in another interesting link about smart meters. This is a big concern. A lot of people, were really on this a couple of years ago because smart meters were coming in waves around here and people were getting really sick and people were investigating this. So they have stuff like smart meter guards, their products, it's selling their products, but router guard, to reroute the gas water meter guard. They have all kinds of stuff here. EMF guard bundle one and smart meter, all these things to protect yourself from these waves. Smart meters are, I guess, really quite serious. They're not so smart, actually.
Steven said in the chat room that he tested the website and the site is fine. The problem seems to be with some of the banner ads from other sites. By removing them once at a time, you see which one is causing the problem. So that's some good information, because you can actually block certain ads.
That's good. That's good to know.
Thanks for that, Stephen. But that's one of the things I'm concerned about sometimes whenever we try to get people to come to Shaziz Radio to visit with us, is that if I don't have a secure server certificate on there, they'll think the site's not safe, and they're worried their computer's going to get messed up. And so, luckily, we have other networks and other places where they can actually go to listen in that, have those certificates. But, because we want to use this chat room that's on here, we, have to have that JavaScript code. And that JavaScript code, because it's on the site that maybe only uses HTTP, eventually they'll get HTTPS because they're being forced into it anyway. And if they don't get it, then they won't be part of the... internet, the safe internet, so to speak. And so that's the concern that I have as far as Google and all the different companies out there that are forcing that secure server certificate on there, because if they don't like your information for any reason whatsoever, if they deem it to be hate speech or racist or whatever, if they don't like your information, They can put that tag on you, on your yeah. site, and say that you're not safe.
Right.
You know, and that's censorship in its worst, because if you don't have access to a difference of opinions where you can go make a choice from all the information that you get from both sides of the fence, how can you use critical thinking at that point? You can't. You know? And after so many generations of people not knowing that Shazoo's Radio ever existed, or that people like us ever even spoke out and said the things that we say, because all they're getting is one side of the story, don't that remind you of George Orwell's 1984 book?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the whole point is to eliminate our critical thinking, our awareness, our conscious ability, you know, to be conscious and to think clearly. Fluoride in the water, that's another thing that affects your ability to think critically. Plus, it, you know, causes illnesses and cancers and so on. But they have many, many things. So then we have, like, I was just looking at that site, and it said about grounding, earth grounding, you know, being on the earth. I know the earth, the Mother Earth, is really being assaulted, and, you know, and the foods that we eat, you know, don't have the nutrients anymore. If you're buying from the grocery stores, you know, most of the land has been so corrupted, you know, with pesticides and stuff, that it doesn't have the nutrients, so the people aren't getting what they need. They aren't getting the vitamins and the nutrients, you know. That's why it is suggested to take supplements these days, because if you think, when you go to the store to get a head of broccoli, you think, well, I'm getting all the vitamins that I need in that broccoli, but that's not true. You know, not only from the earth that it's growing from, but how long it transports and what they do to it, you know, to keep it fresh and so on. So we're really suffering with that aspect, too, of our health, the foods that we eat, you know. And now they're trying to basically attack and ban, you know, the natural things.
Do you know that they say that you get vitamins from the sunlight?
Yeah.
Natural sunlight.
Well,
really?
Well, vitamin D.
Yeah, from natural sunlight. But with what's going on out there today, it's not natural because
of... Yeah, and guess what? There's been here in the last, I guess I'd say maybe 5 years ago, they started putting out information that in this part of the world where we are, where we live, that vitamin D, there's a drop in people's vitamin D here, and they are actually suggesting, the doctors are actually suggesting people take supplements of vitamin D.
Yeah, well... One of the things, if you're blocking out the sunlight on a regular basis, spraying crud in the air to so-called fight global warming, which is backfiring in their face because they're making the giant Fresnel lens and other issues because of the types of materials that they use when they do this, they're causing a worldwide disaster without, you know, people understanding what's happening before. It's like the red tide thing. You know, red tide is, you know, there's a portion of it that's natural, but there's a huge portion of it that's not natural, and it's the not natural portion. Like, for example, if you've got a leaky septic system, and that leaky septic system is getting down into the aquifers and the waterways, well, it's causing a large growth of bacteria and stuff, and it's putting a lot of nutrients into that deal. Well, if you got fresh water from Lake Okeechobee that is being fed by everything from anhydrous ammonia to you know, fertilizers, manures, or whatever that is finally making it down in there, Lake Okeechobee has natural green algae that does a job in that deal. Well, when that natural green algae is doing its job and it's being overfed by the highly nutrient-rich water, and then that water gets released as fresh water down into the rivers that finally make it into, there's a section in the, from, if you go down to the, like Florida or California, anywhere near the ocean, and you go down to your local stream down there, you will actually find a section where the salt water and the fresh water mix. All right?
Right.
There are certain biological entities such as fish and algae that cannot live. One can't live in salt water and the other can't live in fresh water. And so a sudden change of like a, you know, algae that's made to be in fresh water isn't, you know, compatible with the algae or the salt water. So when that mixture occurs, instantaneously that algae would start to die. And even fish that make that sudden change from, you know, fresh water to salt water, there's a certain section where fish can actually adapt to go in and out of that section right there. But if you go look and see, you'll notice that there's actually a color change right there in where that water is actually mixing. And guess what color it is?
I don't know.
It's red.
I was going to say red.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you feed that red algae, which is there to do a job, and you keep pumping nutrients into that thing, then you're going to get what would have been a natural occurrence to balance things out, because you're going from fresh to salt water, and obviously you don't want to corrupt the salt water side like you don't want to corrupt the fresh water side. When those two merge, there has to be a system in place in order to be able to combat that, to balance everything back out. That's what nature's doing. And whenever you're pumping sewage, which essentially manure is, you know, animal sewage, into the deal, it's putting all kinds of nutrients in there, feeding one algae, which in turn goes downstream and feeds the other algae, and the blooms are getting huger. When the blooms get so extreme that they're actually absorbing all the oxygen out of the water, any fish that swim in that general vicinity is going to suffocate. And when it gets down to the point where some of them's actually toxic, they'll actually release toxins. Did you know that red algae, if it doesn't have enough food in the area, can release toxins and actually kill off fish in order to turn that fish into food?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But I do know, I was reading that this the red tide, not only does it affect the waters and the fishes and the marine life, but the air goes into the atmosphere and affects the people.
Yeah, if people got respiratory problems, they got to wear a mask around the area down there. Not to mention the stink of the rotting fish, you know, which isn't helping the situation. But the whole key is there's a resolution in order to help nature balance itself back out, using plants that are already natural to Florida environment. I talked about duckweed a while back. Duckweed is nature's water filtration system. You take that duckweed and you put a barrier between the farm field down where the sugar's growing and their fertilizers. You got a barrier down there where you got a section where before that water gets anywhere else, it's going to go through this section, which is going to give it time to filter to the best extent it can. And then finally work its way down. By the time it gets down to the area, it's fresh water again. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. But you also have to solve the issue that's creating this to begin with, which is there's no restrictions on these runoffs, on these pesticide runoffs, and the pollution. Then you have the sewage system.
Well, another benefit of that duckweed, though, is that after, let's say, you start off 1 year and you make these retaining pools that will catch any runoff, and it will actually filter that that fertilizer and chemistry out of the water before it gets any further down. Then you can take and skim off that duckweed, and you can turn around and use it for fertilizer for the... Now you're using a natural fertilizer with some of the nutrients that was absorbed from the actual original runoff. So you're actually, in effect, recycling last year's fertilizer. You see what I'm saying? Because the plant has already absorbed it up. And then you get to a point where you don't even have to buy any fertilizer anymore. You're just using a portion of that duckweed, because if you're using natural fertilizers, it's still going to make the water down there nutrient rich. You'll want to try to filter it up before you allow that to release anywhere else.
Well, you have on the can we get rid of red tide is the question, and not yet, says a scientist.
Well, we can't get completely rid of it, and we shouldn't get completely rid of it.
No, but it's like you have to find this balance.
Yeah, that's the key right there, the balance.
But the thing is what they're doing down there is they're studying it. They're studying it. There's lots of studies going on. Well, that's about it.
I wrote letters to the doggone Governor Rick Scott up there in Florida. Never got a doggone response back because, you know, to them it's probably
not a
problem.
Well, he's a crook.
And so, yeah, I don't doubt that
a bit. The man's a crook.
But he's probably in the pockets of the companies that, you know, are causing the problem. And so they don't want to resolve it, you know. But if they use this information wisely, they could actually turn it into a benefit for Florida. Because using this solution here, you could actually turn the portion of that duckweed into biofuel, biodiesels that they could then in turn run their tractors with or whatever. You know, there's all kinds of pluses. You could make fish hatcheries where you're using like aquaponic systems to the duckweed feeds the fish. So it feeds the fish, it filters the water, and now you got the system that looks beautiful, and you're using portions of what's growing there to recycle for fertilizer and biodiesel. So there's pluses. You could actually turn that into a financial deal for Florida to benefit. Instead of having these natural disasters where they're now trying to tell tourists that it's safe to come down here or it's not safe to come down here and go swimming, you wouldn't have that issue any longer because you stopped it at its actual source, which is down there where the farmers and the cattle farmers and all of them are doing what they do without any kind of regulations to keep their runoff under control. That water's got to go somewhere. You see what I mean?
Well, what you should do is you should write letters to the editor down there. Forget the governor.
Well, you know what? That's a good idea. I hadn't thought about that. I'll call up one of the media people down there that are actually talking about this deal and seriously concerned about it and ask them why it is that they don't use basic science to resolve the issue.
Well, I think if you write a letter to the editor and explain this simply and just keep writing letters to the editors of different newspapers down there, somebody's going to pick it up.
Well, if I could get them just to talk to me for a little while, that's the thing. And that's the biggest issue that I've had in this whole entire process. See, the first time I had become aware of it, I was watching a YouTube channel they do kind of surfing videos and prank videos and stuff like that. It's called the Juge Squad, all right? They got like 3 million viewers or whatever. Anyway, I'm watching, and he comes on here and talks about the red tide. I type a message in there and say, hey, there's a simple solution for this. We can fix this. And then I actually sent them emails. Well, because he's got 3 million some odd viewers, he probably never even saw my email. But I didn't stop there. I actually emailed a copy of what I told him to the governor and to different places down in Florida and other people out there like Facebook and all that, saying, you know, here's a solution. Get this information to somebody who's in power or position of authority that they can, you know, look at this information. And in the process of researching this, I found out that there was another guy out there who calls himself Captain Planet that was saying the same doggone thing. And apparently he lives up in that area.
Right.
So, you know what I would be doing if I lived in that area? I would go down to them farm fields with a pocket full of duckweed in the middle of the dark when ain't nobody looking, and I'd chuck it off in the ravine and walk away, and it'd be solved because... And 2-3 days later, they'd be loaded down with duckweed.
Here you go.
Because if the system ain't going to listen, that's why we talked about guerrilla gardening.
Gardening, exactly.
If you can't feed the people, you go out there in the middle of the night when there ain't nobody looking, throw fistfuls of vegetable seeds in every doggone direction, and when they wake up in the morning, there's going to be food, you know, everywhere. So, if you can't find no food in your country...
Well, that's like Johnny Appleseed, yeah. You know. There you go. Take those little seeds and run around the whole country and drop those seeds. And there you go. You have apples.
The key is stop asking the government for permission to do something that you can do yourself.
That's the key. You said it right there.
That's the crazy thing. You know, and there's another thing. You know, I know there's people out there that don't believe in God, but God gave, as far as I'm concerned, God gave me a whole kinds of, advantages in this world. And if if I'm sitting there and I'm praying to God, God, help me clean up my land, you know, what sense does it make, and why would God want to answer my prayer that I want him to help me clean up my land? Well, I'm asking him for, some miracle to get me to do what he already gave me the power to do. You see what I'm saying? You don't have to ask the government for permission to go clean something up. You just go do it. Don't say, "Oh, Mr. Government, I see this old tower down here in the creek. Is it all right if I move that?" And they're like, "No, you can't move that. There's some bugs living in there that are protected. You got to leave that tower there." No, to heck with that. Take the tower up out of there. Go recycle it properly. You know, don't ask. Don't ask for permission to go over and help your neighbor out. Don't ask for permission to do something that you know is right. Period.
Well, I think that's across the board. People are too dependent upon the government, too dependent upon these people. And you have to realize that a lot of these government people, they're corrupted. They're being paid off by lobbyists, you know, being paid off by the fertilizer lobbyists, being paid off by this one and that one. So they don't care what's running into the water.
Even the ones that aren't corrupted are under the gun of the red tape, so they don't want to make the decision themselves to say, "Yeah, it's all right to take that tire out of the creek." You know, they first got to go through their chain of command. They'll send a letter up to the next guy if it's important to them. It may not even be important enough to even pass it on. Oh, it's just a tire.
Well, they're going to do a study about it. They have to do a study, so they need grant money. So then they're going to apply for a grant, and then they're going to get grant money, and they're going to do a study before you remove that tire.
Yeah.
Because it could create whatever. That's where we are.
Yeah, it might
cause
erosion.
But it's sort of like we're talking about how the people are stuck in their minds, reliant and dependent upon the so-called authorities. We've been told from the time we're little children, these are the authorities, and these are the ones that you pay attention to, that you listen to, and that you must comply according to what they're telling you, right?
Yep. The scientist isn't the one with the fancy lab coat and the fancy paper and the fancy title. The scientist is the one that follows the scientific method to observe and test and retest and all that kind of stuff, you know. And so these modern day scientists basically sold out the planet. They sold out the people because for whatever reason they want their funds more than they want the truth to be out there. So those individuals that say, "Oh yeah, it's cool to you know fight global warming with chemicals in the sky, you know, it's all right. It's only parts per million anyway," or whatever. Or, you know, they fudge the numbers on things to make things look worse. So,
or they go get stocks in the chemicals. Yeah. Let's buy stocks. This is a good thing. Let's make money off of this.
The medical industry is prime example. You know, people are always saying, "Well, you know, maybe one of these days we'll find a cure for cancer." People, we've had a cure for cancer for so long, it's flat out ridiculous. One of them is so ridiculously simple that it's mind-blowing. Look up hyperbaric oxygen treatment and find out how it actually functions, what the benefits of it are, the drawbacks, everything like that. When you find out that 90% of all the doggone diseases out there are due to oxygen deprivation, it's something as simple as you got poor circulation or you got some sort of problem with one of your vital organs that might be swollen, and in the process of that swelling, it's pressing down and blocking blood from getting to another part, and it starts a domino effect in your body. Well, that hyperbaric oxygen treatment actually gets blood or gets oxygen down into not just the blood itself, but down into the little liquid portion that they call plasma in your body, and it makes it oxygenated, highly oxygenated. It promotes it gets the stem cells energized to go out and do their job to also get oxygen down into the soft tissues of the body so that the cell growth can be stimulated so you can heal wounds. They've been using hyperbaric oxygen treatments to heal diabetic ulcers that won't heal because the person's either diabetic or they got really poor circulation. They're not getting enough oxygen to that wound in order for it to be able to heal. Something in the body's malfunctioning. And so when they put these people in these chambers and they pressurize it and they squeeze down those oxygen molecules and gets into the bloodstream and people come out of there feeling all energized, that's why. And it's a technology that is not science fiction. It's science fact, but most mainstream doctors out there, they may have heard the term hyperbaric oxygen therapy. They know about wound vac situations, which is reverse. It's a negative pressure oxygen therapy where basically you put this vacuum over a wound and it sucks the blood from your body out towards that wound and bringing oxygen there via a vacuum. The other one is pushing it in through the other direction. So one is actually better than the other because it's actually saturating your body with oxygen. I put a link in there quite some time back. I'll have to repost it. But there's this book out there called the 2-Minute Cure or the 1-Minute Cure or something like that. And it talks about hydrogen peroxide therapy and stuff like that, which has to do with oxygen therapy. But these are things that diseases can't live in a highly oxygenated body. It's the chemistry of the whole thing. There are there's a book out there that Dr. Lorraine Day wrote called Diseases Don't Just Happen, where she breaks it down chemically, what's going on in the body, why these diseases are occurring. So all these things that the medical industry should be taking note of, even things like hemp seed oil and other alternative medicines that the Food and Drug Administration won't allow you to say this will cure this disease or it'll treat this disease or whatever. They won't let you do that unless you got years and years of testing on there, which you can't get to because the red tape and all the craziness that it takes just to get a medicine on the market. There's places in Canada where you can buy certain medicines that you can't buy here, and vice versa. Like there's places in Mexico where you can get certain types of treatment, whereas you can't get it by here because of all the red tape. But as far as a cure for cancer, we've had a cure for cancer for years. And the people out there that say, oh, well, you're just a nuthead, a tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy, why would they want people to die or whatever? They want to make money, people. Why sell a cure for the common cold if you want to sell cold medicine? Why cure cancer if you can sell them thousands of dollars worth of treatments doing chemotherapy and all the drugs involved in it? If you check out the prices of some of the chemo medicine that people have to pay for, if it wasn't for programs like Medicaid, Medicare, and other personal insurances that would actually cover these medicines, your average Joe can't afford $500 or $600 a pill. That's ridiculous. But this hyperbaric oxygen treatment, there are facilities out there who actually do it. The doggone athletes use it to heal faster from their wounds from the field that they're after playing on. The doggone celebrities use it for anti-aging, and sometimes whenever people get lucky, they use it to cure wounds heal faster. But you don't see an average doctor. I've actually talked to doctors that don't even know that this, they don't know enough about it to implement it on somebody who has a wound that won't heal or a disease that they just can't get rid of. And to me, it's ridiculous because you should have all this information out on the table. If you're a doctor, you should know even the alternative medicine so that you have every option available. So you say, look, we've tried all this conventional method, but even though your insurance might not cover it, I want you to be aware that there are these other alternative methods and even natural methods that people say, and there are research to that they're actually beneficial. You know, there's even hospitals out there right now who are actually exercising the power of prayer. That, you know, people will pray and try to help heal people. So if you're willing to allow power of prayer and you're willing to look outside conventional methods and look into alternative methods, then you're putting every single option on the table available to heal somebody. The way that the system's set up right now isn't set up to benefit the average Joe. It's set up to benefit the bankers, the people selling drugs, the people selling guns and ammunition and supplies, all these resources out there. And so there are people making money hand over fist just because you got to go to the doctor. Look into the insurance agencies alone, how much money they charge people. And then look into the limitations of when you do buy health insurance, you're only covered so far. They won't take you any farther than what you're covered. And at a certain point, when you ain't got no more money, guess what? That bill now goes on to you. And if you got any kind of assets for them to attach, you think they won't put a lien against your property because you owe a medical bill? It's insane. Folks, the only ones that can fix it is you. And going around fighting each other over who's president and who ain't president ain't doing the job. Going out there protesting and rioting and looting and pillaging your own deal because you're angry because the government did something, or you know, somebody said the government did something or whatever, it's only giving them more power. The day that martial law kicks in, the government has full control. They already implemented, via the last several presidents, the legislation necessary to literally come in and take your resources. If they need your vehicle, they take your vehicle. If they need your land, they take your land. And there ain't nothing you can do about it because it's the law. Period. Go look into the asset forfeiture seizure laws. It might be implemented in your neighborhood, in your state. Asset forfeiture seizure laws that quite literally, if there's a drug that's deemed to be illegal, such as marijuana, and you just happen to have a patch of it growing on the back of your property, even though you didn't know nothing about it, under the asset forfeiture seizure laws, they can seize your property. And you can't get it back. It goes up for auction, and they sell it to help the law enforcement. The law enforcement gets that money. How do you like that type of freedom? You better know your rights. You better know what's coming down the road at you. You better get proactive in your communities, and you better pay attention when your local town councils are passing legislation to understand exactly what that legislation means. That's how you fix the world on the political side of the deal. And how you fix it on the personal side of the deal, where you're interacting with your neighbor, is, I think, kind of like what Barbara said earlier about following the golden rules, the Ten Commandments. There's a lot to be said there. What do you think, lady?
Well, I think it was made pretty simple for us. And I think all the other stuff is irrelevant, frankly. You know, to me, they're just stories, and some of it may be true, some of it may not be true. But I think that, living by those Ten Commandments, and like I want to say, it's just not just what you read in the Bible that supposedly was given there, but it's like the white buffalo calf woman brought the same words, and the peacemaker brought the same words. You know, I mean, across the board, I think you could just live according to that, you know. And that's all you need. And anything else, I think, is irrelevant, really. What are we talking about? Love thy neighbor as thyself, right?
Yep.
What else are we talking about?
Well, trying to avoid a civil war. But we had this.
Well, if you love thy neighbor as thyself, I mean, it's like be kind. To, you know, be loving and compassionate, and I'm just trying to think of what the heck all those things were. It's been a long time.
Well, there's a question in the chat room. Says, does anybody know what causes type 1 diabetes? And, you know, I just kind of Googled it up and looked up there. It says type 1 diabetes, once known as juvenile diabetes or insulin-dependent diabetes, is a chronic condition in which the pancreas produces little or no insulin. Insulin is a hormone needed to allow sugar, glucose to enter cells, produce energy. Different factors include genetics, and some viruses may contribute it to type 1 diabetes, although 1 diabetes usually appears during childhood or adolescence. It can develop into adults. Despite active research, type 1 diabetes has no cure, which I completely and 150,000% beyond a shadow of doubt disagree with. There is a cure. treatment focuses on managing blood sugar levels with insulin, diet, lifestyle to prevention and complications. Number one, go get the book Diseases Don't Just Happen by Dr. Lorraine Day. She'll break it down to you. Number two, go out and check into the 1 Minute Cure. I think it's the 1 Minute Cure. There's a free PDF book download out there available. And also look into hyperbaric oxygen treatment and understand how that functions, as well as look into the benefits of hemp seed oil. When you start looking into all these alternative medicines, and I'm saying don't just believe anything you hear and go out there and start drinking hydrogen peroxide or anything like that. Actually do the physical research necessary to understand what it is that they're saying and why the body's doing what it's doing. There is a reason why anything breaks down in your body. There's a reason for it. There's always a reason for it. There's a cause. And in that cause, there's also a solution. So if your body needs to be oxygenated in order to stimulate your stem cells to do their job, to go out there and make new blood cells and, you know, fight off diseases and build up your immune system and all that kind of stuff, look into hyperbaric oxygen treatment. There's a home version of it that you can actually buy. It's not very cheap. There's actually a smaller version, which is like a boot or a patch that you put over there, and you use a doggone oxygen concentrator that will put pressurized oxygen to localize to a wound that will help that process of getting oxygen into that area. So there are all kinds of cures for every doggone disease out there. If you understand the symptom and the causes of it, and you can diagnose, you can treat it, period. It's, you know, drives me insane when doctors, tell people, well, you know, you're going to have this insulin shot, you know, for the rest of your life. When there is research out there says that hemp seed oil will cure any form of diabetes within 4 to 6 weeks, I would say if you already got diabetes and you're not allergic to hemp seed oil, what's the harm in giving it a shot? If you take it and it doesn't give you adverse effects or whatever, such as a rash or whatever, it's just like any... Doggone it, just go read the back label of any of your prescription pills. It's got a long list of possible side effects, not excluding death. So, A, I got hemp seed oil in my hand. B, I got prescription drug in my hand. The hemp seed oil comes with a deal, maybe a slight little warning on there, but I opened up this big old long scroll of possible side effects with whatever medicine the doctor just told me to have. Which one do you think I'm going to take? That's the simple of it. Nature's provided all kinds of beneficial plants, and all you got to do is get out there and learn about it. The research has already been done for you. You just got to dig it up or ask somebody who's already looked it up to find out. You know?
Well, you have the diet in anything. What we put into our bodies is really key in regards to opportunities, disease opportunities and stuff. You know, people have diets these days, they may have, you know, let's say sugar, fried foods, you know, processed foods, sodas, you know, Coca-Colas and all that kind of stuff, various things that they're putting into their bodies, plus levels of stress. This is what we are dealing with today, the levels of stress that people are, you know, struggling with. And how to find a balance. Again, we have to go back to the balance. How do we find a balance in our life? You know, if you're overstressed, you have to find a balance so that to cut back the stress, you have to do certain things. Pay attention. Are you eating a lot of white flour products? Are you eating a lot of sugar? A lot of foods with chemicals in them and various other things. These are not healthy, and these can lead to these various, you know, diseases. I just popped Dr. Axe, how to reverse diabetes naturally. And it's a really good, read here. If you remove these foods, you can reverse the diabetes naturally. Refined sugar, various cow's milk, for instance. Really, it should be eliminated. Alcohol, GMO foods, hydrogenated oils. These are all things that really affect us, our health and our well-being, and do create diabetes. The numbers of diabetes in today's, in our world today is stunning. I didn't really know this. Did you know that there are 30 plus million people in the United States have diabetes?
Well, it don't surprise me, because when you go listen to Dr. Lorraine Day talk about diseases don't just happen, your body's a chemistry set.
That's true, but so, then you have 7.2 million people who don't realize that they have diabetes.
Here's the thing, and it's understandable that they might not, because the symptoms might not have kicked in just yet. But here's the thing, if your body's a chemistry set, and it's like anything nicotine or caffeine that your body gets used to, your body at certain points starts to believe that it needs that, because it's getting it every day. And then when you don't have it, then you have withdrawal symptoms that affect how you feel. And the same thing with the diabetes, you know, you get your body used to a certain level of sugar, and then suddenly you don't have that amount of sugar on a daily basis. Now your body starts to, you know, have adverse effects, because it's craving the sugar that it needs. So, you know, while there are medical deals that cause the pancreas not to do its job, there are solutions, and there's a reason why that your pancreas ain't doing its job. And, you know, ways to build up your immune system and, you know, things like that. But I just posted that link in there for the 1 minute cure. Download that and just read it. You know, if you never use it, that's something. But it's your choice. But you got to do some research. I'm also going to see if I can find a link to Dr. Lorraine Day's Diseases Don't Just Happen and post that down there as well. Because it gives you an understanding, even if you never use the information or the, you know, whatever, that you at least know that you know how this is actually happening. You got to know how something is happening before you know how to fix it, is what I'm trying to say. So I'm gonna find a link to her book.
Well, I'm going to pop the, there's a video here, Dr. Lorraine Day, Diseases Don't Just Happen. I'm going to pop that into the chat here on People for People. You know, I know so many people who have healed themselves through natural ways of many diseases, and cancer being one of them. You know, then we have our friend, our friends from Scotland there who have been on our show, Patty and my show, healed themselves of cancers and various other things with the cannabis. You know, I mean, this is one plant medicine, only one of many that Creator has given us that are natural healers.
There's actually a website out there that says stay away from Dr. Lorraine Day. It's called quackwatch.org.
I'm not surprised.
I'd even suggest you go read what they got to say, because this is the thing that you're up against. Anytime people come out there and say, they sit there and try to tell you about any possible alternative cure, you're going to get things like this pop up. It happens in alternative energy, it happens in alternative medicine, it happens in alternative law.
You know, that's what they're trying to prevent. They're trying to prevent people from natural healing, from healing themselves, from helping themselves. This we know is part of the agenda. We know this is across the board. That's what they do. They're eliminating anything natural. They're scaring people, you know, scaring the crap out of people to just listen to the authorities. That's who you have to listen to. The authorities have the answer. They will give you this and so on. Pay them the money. Don't go to that quack. Don't listen to that quack. But I know people who have done this on their own. They just stopped eating all types of food. They went to complete healthy food, juicing, natural juicing, natural foods, organic foods, exercise, meditation, feeding, nurturing their soul, I call it. You know, nurture your soul. How do we nurture our soul? How do we feed our soul? We have to take those steps. You're not going to get that from any of the systems or the agendas or the cabals or the authorities. You know, they're basically putting terror into people's minds and stressing us out and so on and telling us, no, don't go to that quack. That's not going to work. You have to do your own research, really. There are quacks out there. I'm not saying there aren't, right?
Yeah.
Of course there are people that are quacks and that are not up and up and so on. You have to do your own research. And again, it's finding a balance with everything that we do. And our bodies tell us basically what's going on. If you listen, you have to listen to your body. You know, your body will always say there's something not quite right. And you can pay attention to that. Now, your gut health is one of the most important things to pay attention to. Like, the gut is about everything. Everything starts there in the gut. And we have issues with parasites. And if you have parasites, that can lead to many illnesses. That's sort of like the first step where it brings you into a, you know, the body going down, the stress on the immune system, and so on. But our bodies will tell us that it is in trouble if we pay attention and listen. It doesn't mean, okay, if you have chronic headaches, it could mean numerous things, but most people go and get drugs, go get pain pills. Go to the doctor. I have chronic back problem. Go to the doctor. Get pills. You can do other things. You can find out, in fact, if there is something going on inside the body, not just a backache. You know, I was just speaking to a young man recently. Well, he's in his 40s. To me, that's young. And he found out that he suddenly now found out he has kidney problems. But all along, he was having back problems. He thought he had these back problems, and he thought he was put his back out, or he's sleeping wrong, or he moved wrong, and now he has a back problem. We'll come to find out, no, it's a kidney problem, kidney malfunction. Okay, but the body was telling him, wake up, there's a problem here. Same thing if you have chronic headaches, chronic pain somewhere. The body's trying to tell you there's something going on here. I'm not saying it's always the case that it will be an organ malfunction or something as serious as that, but you have to pay attention and just don't go and cover up the problem with a drug. Get medicated. You're not dealing with the issue. You could be dealing with, you know, if you have chronic headaches, it could be stress in your life. It could be something else. But I'm just saying, we are dealing with all of these things, and there are natural ways to help yourself.
Yep.
And I think people, this whole thing about fast foods, for instance, I was looking at this, watching this video in reference to the epidemic of ADD and ADHD. Now, there's an issue that appeared on the scene about, what, 10, 15 years ago, maybe? Suddenly, these children are having ADD and ADHD. And, you know, my instincts just tell me, oh, this is about diet. A lot of this issue is about diet. And I was watching this video of this 8-year-old boy who is taking so many drugs because the school recommended that his, well, they didn't recommend. They actually demanded that the mother parents take him to a psychotherapist because he was distracted, he was unruly, he wasn't complying, he was antsy, he couldn't keep a focus, and they call that ADD and ADHD, and the minute they walked into the doctor's office, the doctor had a prescription pad, and the first thing he did was write a script for this 8-year-old boy to take some kind of a drug, and that was the first thing. So they took that drug, and he started to have side effects from that drug. So the mother took him back to the doctor, and the doctor said, oh, well, here, I have another prescription that will take care of that issue. And on it went, and this boy has like 8 bottles, different drugs he has to take every morning. And he was very overweight. His mother said since he's been taking these drugs, he gained a lot of weight. His diet, his appetite is so ferocious that he just can't stop eating. He's depressed. He can't sleep at all. In other words, this was not helping the boy. And on the table, I'm watching this in the kitchen, the documentary is in the family's home. The mother's pulling something out of a microwave oven. They were like these corn dogs, frozen corn dogs that you buy in a store. And they got all kinds of chemicals and coloring, and she pops those into the microwave, and the boy's eating them, wolfing them down right in front of us, the camera, while she's being interviewed. And on the table is this monster bottle of purple Gatorade. Okay. And I'm in my room, I'm watching this, and I'm screaming. I'm just screaming at this because it's crazy, because this mother has no idea how she's hurting her child with this food she's feeding him. And plus, there he is on all these drugs. And I found this really shocking, and it is dietary. A lot of the illnesses and stuff we deal with is dietary, really. Yeah, and our state of mind.
There's a small quantity, at least, of basically poor parenting that has to do with the child just acting out in school, but that child, because it's being misbehaving, is getting diagnosed as, you know, ADHD or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, but
well, there was no question. The doctor didn't say, okay, tell me about your child's diet. Okay, or is there trouble at home? You know, are you divorced? Is your husband you? I mean, what's going on? There's none of that. It's just here, take these pills. That's all.
You know what just said right there explains how the old country doctors used to treat people. They would ask all these types of questions because they wanted down to the root cause. Nowadays they don't.
Well, in the way of traditional, in the indigenous way of traditional medicine, it is about the body, the mind, and the spirit of a person. Okay, that's taken into consideration, those three aspects of ourself, the emotional, the physical, and the spiritual. This is key to our health. The Western medicine does not look at that. You have a bump here, you have an ache here, you have a this or so on, and that's what they focus on. They hone in on that, and they'll radiate it or whatever, or give you pills for that issue, but it could be an emotional issue.
Well, another factor into what you just said right there was that when people, you know, you start chopping on them, hacking on them, or making them sick with the chemotherapy and all that kind of stuff, they lose that willpower to keep going on. And once a person doesn't believe that they think that their situation is bleak and the chances of them getting better, there's a whole lot to be said for the power of the mind being able to actually help your body to do the work that it needs to do to heal yourself.
And what you just said is a very key piece in the healing methods that Dr. Carl Symington and Dr. Stephanie Symington use in their clinic. It is all about the health, what you're eating. It is about your mind. It is about your power of will to live. It is about how your mind talks to you about, you know, when a doctor says to you, yep, we can't do anything else for you. You have 6 months to live. What's with the 6 months?
I don't know, but they say it a lot.
They say it a lot. And don't you know that people go home and, yep, within 6 months, these people are dead.
Yep.
And that's basically an imprint. They're brainwashing that person to give up hope. 6 months, I'm going to die. Get everything, all your stuff in place. Get your papers done. Get everybody all settled because you're going
to
die.
The thing is, if you don't believe in miracles, how could you ever expect to accept or even receive a miracle? If you don't believe that it's possible that, you know, maybe a higher power can heal you, or even that your mind is powerful enough to heal you, if you don't believe that this is even possible, how can you even accept it? You see what I'm saying?
I do, and the power of your mind is incredible.
Yeah.
And the mind, what we think about, what we focus on, basically affects our immune system. It does. It's constantly affecting our system.
Oh, yeah, if you're depressed all the time, your immune system's out of whack. You can seriously become ill because you're depressed. If you're feeling sad all the time, that's why they say laughter is good medicine, because it really is. It releases endorphins.
Endorphins, yeah. Exactly. And also that, you know, it's hard to have a positive attitude when you've been diagnosed, of course, but you have to pull that out. You have to find that, because you have to know that the power of your beliefs and the power of your will to live, and and also the imprints that the doctors give you, well, it's hopeless. I've had people, well, look at, you know, the same thing happened. I had a person, a friend of mine, diagnosed with lymphoma the second time. Well, she got it in every 4 years, that comes back. And the first course, she did all the chemotherapy. It nearly killed her. She did survive it, but then it came back 4 years later. And she decided to go for the hydrating therapy, all the natural things, all the juicing, all the organic foods, exercise, meditation, visualization, and she's fine. She healed herself of that lymphoma. And I've heard over and over again many, many stories like this. So you have to take charge. We have to take charge of our lives, even today, across the board. Forget even about the health thing. We have to come to terms with how we are being governed and manipulated and brainwashed and mind-controlled about our health, our well-being, and our freedoms and our life. And what we, you know, what we were originally given by Creator, all the medicines on the earth, the natural medicines on the earth, our own free will, the power of prayer, the power of our thoughts and what we do focus on, this is where we have to take charge, you know, and not drop into fear, you know, and push out doubt.
Well, personally,
you know?
I reject cancer. I refuse to die of cancer. Especially being of a scientific mind and understanding what is the actual cause of that. See, there's two types of causes that they say out there are cancer that people need to understand. One is a synthetic. It's like, such as like asbestosis, where you get a little piece of fiber of asbestos into your body somehow and your body can't get rid of it. Your immune system begins to attack it and it can't dissolve it. It can't get rid of it. So basically, it'll keep coating it over just like an oyster makes a pearl, and then it gets a big old knot growing on there, and that knot eventually gets so large it takes on a life of its own, and it starts to cause the cells around it to mutate, plus it will start pressing down on other vital organs, cutting off blood flow, which there goes the oxygen portion of it, and that causes the domino effect down the line. The other one they say is a viral, which basically will cause, like, you get these little pustules build up in you, either in your bone or your brain or whatever, and it ends up being like a, you know, a mass that's pressing on vital organs once again. So either way, it's either your genetics getting messed with, you're producing bad cells or whatever, but there are solutions to both of those, one of which is that hyperbaric oxygen treatment, which if you go listen to all the documentaries on it, you'll hear pros and cons, but what you need to be paying attention to is that once this oxygen gets into your bloodstream and it gets your stem cells, which is the ones, the little workers that get in there to do the job, to get other things happening, to get oxygen down into the soft tissues to promote new cell growth, and then that oxygenated plasma gets down into your bones and it attacks that pustule that has the virus in it, and it sits there, and the virus can't live in a highly oxygenated environment, so it dies off, and from that point on the stem cells are generating new growth. So that's science, right? And in the medicine, alternative medicine industry out there, whatever, not industry, I couldn't call it industry because they're not making billions of dollars on it, I guess. Not mainstream medicine is what I'm trying to say, but there are natural medicines out there that give you certain materials that your body actually needs that it may not be getting. That's why all these vitamins are selling. People are vitamin deficient, but even taking those vitamins, if you take too many of the wrong vitamin, you can cause more problems. So you got to get that balance back that Barbara was talking about. So Barbara, we're getting down there. It's about time for us to roll up out of there. You got any last words of wisdom before we get out of here?
Oh, well, you know, thank you for the show today and for everybody listening out there. I hope we gave you something that would touch you and bring you to something, some help or assistance, or even give you an impetus to do some research, you know. I feel... I have great strength with my spirituality and my understanding of the power that we do have. We have to own that power. We have to stand strong in that center of the sacred circle and claim who we are. Voice the ourself. Send out that voice to a divine one, a creator, God, it doesn't matter who. Associate and align yourself with a higher frequency. Because this is what it's about. Health and illness have everything to do with a frequency. Frequency of your mind, the thoughts you have and the words you use and your emotions and your beliefs all have frequencies. If you are in a negative, your body is functioning on a lower frequency. If you are in fear, it's a frequency, and your body drops into that lower frequency, and that can create illness. Same thing with anger, rage, all that kind of stuff affects the frequency of our body. Our bodies were meant to be in a high frequency of everything functioning beautifully and perfectly, and we are subjected to many things that can knock us out of balance and lower that frequency. So, but we can do things to bring our frequency up, the health and well-being of our organs and our body. And you know, if you talk to your body, like if you say to your immune system, basically make claim, my immune system is functioning perfectly and beautiful. You know, that's powerful words, and it raises your frequency. If you say things like, no matter what, everything will be all right. It's okay. Things are going to be fine. Things will work out. You know, people might say, well, that's a bunch of hooey, but
well,
it raises your frequency.
For people who think that that's a bunch of hooey, I'd like to just point out just something ridiculously simple. There are some people, if you took your fingers and run them down a chalkboard, you will cause a physical reaction in that person and send chills up their spine, and it becomes seriously unpleasant for them. And that's not just one. I personally, if my fingers are wet, I hate touching dry paper. It just drives me insane. I mean, I have a physical reaction to it. And there are all kinds of different sound waves and stuff like that that either make you feel physically sick or make you feel really well. You see what I mean there?
Well, I do, and that's what I'm saying. But I'm saying that we have to know that there are truths and manipulations and lies, and there are alternatives. And Creator, I feel, gave us all the medicines, all the answers, all that we would ever need. And it's up to us to find these things and to not just sit down and give up.
Well, and also when you find them, to share them.
Not to feel defeated. Not to feel hopeless and helpless, because it's not hopeless and it's not helpless, only if you believe that it is. So that's all. I'm just going to say that, and I just have a great faith in the power that we do have.
Well, I agree with you. You know, I think everybody needs some sort of spiritual grounding, especially in this crazy world. An actual grounding. If you have to go out there and put your bare feet on the nature and just absorb nature, I think that's a plus as well. I can find, whenever I leave the city and I'm away from all these, cell towers and all that stuff, it seems like I get in a better mood the further I get away from the city, the further I get away from all the chaos of, the hustle and bustle of city life. I feel better. Me and my wife, as we're driving out to her mom and dad's, who lives several hours away from us, we get way out there in the country where you can't even get a cell phone signal. We feel real good. We feel energized and happy. There's got to be something to it. And as far as avoiding civil war, the only people in this world that have the power to avoid civil war is we the people. They don't call it civil war for nothing. Even though there ain't nothing civil about war, still, it's between we the people that where the trouble starts. It's when you're out there rioting amongst each other and you're beating people up or tearing up your own communities because you disagree with somebody else's political view or you think you've been wronged or anything like that. Our system of government was set up, if you think you were wrong, that you have a remedy according to the way it was set up, that you can actually get something done. That's where the laws and the deal came into place. But it came to a point where people started using the laws as a weapon against each other. not as a deterrent or an insurance that you're not going to be harmed, but because you didn't like what somebody said. You didn't like their speech. And so suddenly that was a crime to think or to say certain things. And the censorship that come up out of that is going to breed yet even more animosity between the left and the right paradigm that you keep being told about. The divide and conquer that the mainstream media and the governments and the industries out there keep you at odds with each other. You've heard on this show here today many examples of all kinds of solutions, even if they're only potential solutions. I also posted the link because I found it was Dr. Lorraine Day's actual website's down there. She's the one that wrote the book, Diseases Don't Just Happen, and Barbara posted a link for one of the videos. But just check the lady out. Even if you don't listen to nothing she has to say, just listen to the information so you got, some sort of idea of what she's talking about. Then maybe it's not for you. Or even these other things. Because we're not trying to sell anything that she's trying to sell. We're not trying to sell her books for her. We're just pointing this information out because when I read this book and she explained why diseases actually happen, it sounded to me a scientific plausibility that if you understood what actually causes diseases, then you know how to address it. Earlier, Barbara said something about masking the symptoms, and that's all that the mainstream media does. They mask the symptoms. Or mainstream medical industry, that's they mask the symptoms.
Well, the mainstream media masks the symptoms.
Yeah, they do that too.
They're all right. Doing the same thing. They're masking the truth. Symptoms. It's so true.
They're not.
Yeah, I just want to finish up by saying I think we're in an extraordinary moment in time. Yep. I think this is an awesome time, and for people to really know that we do have a power, and our power is in our spiritual faith, our connectedness to a source, no matter what it is, and also our unity, and knowing that we are really together in this, and whatever's going on, just to keep your focus on the light and on the heart love, on the heart spirit, and that will help you and assist you and move you through. Don't fall into the drama. Don't fall into the fear. Don't get out there with your sign and screaming and carrying on. Don't play the game.
That's
Step
right.
away from the matrix. That's all I'm going
to
say.
They're trying to
Thank you, everybody.
They're trying to agitate everybody into a fight. Don't give them the satisfaction. And if you got some sort of disease out there that the doctor just told you you're going to croak from, hey, I'll tell you what, there's tons of researchers out there that will help you find a solution. And as far as I'm concerned, if you already got the disease anyway, what in the heck is the harm of trying something that's natural to see if you can resolve it? I mean, don't give up. That's what I'm trying to say. These folks that go to these main doctors and they end up getting chopped on and radiated and they're miserable and they end up only buying themselves a few months or maybe a year or two, to me that's a shame. Because I honestly believe, I know that there's cures out there for everything. You just got to know where to look. And then there's people out there willing to help you look. There's people out there willing to point you in the right direction of research that they've done that they feel that will benefit you. And as far as, like I said, on this whole avoiding the doggone Civil War thing, that's going to be a choice that you're going to have to make personally. I'm not saying don't defend yourself, people. If the government comes after you, you got to fight back. If the people come after you or the military come back, you got to fight back. You got to preserve your life. It's understandable. That's the way our Constitution was set up. But it's your life. It's your family's future. It's the future of all of humanity. Don't let these people keep sending you off to war. Don't let these people keep continuing to lie to you. Keep on using all these tools that you have access to while you have access. And when the censorship pours in, find a way around it. It's as simple as that. And if you see somebody else out there being censored, then you need to stand up for them even if you don't agree with them, because the next one censored might very well be you. And when you're only getting one side of the story, that's called propaganda. When you're only getting one side of the story, you can't make a reasonable, informed, common sense decision, period. So you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. If you like this podcast, please share it with somebody. If you only like bits and pieces of it, chop it up, take what you want, you know, pass the rest on or whatever. Do whatever you want with this. All the information on this website, we post links, we post pictures, we post ideas, we invite you to the microphone, we want you on Skype, we want you in the chat rooms, we want you to let people know that we're here and that our website is safe regardless of what Google says. We're not spying on nobody. There's no malware on our websites. So, bring them here. And if this website ain't doing the job for you, go out there, because there's other networks out there like People for People Network or any other networks out there that are trying to do the same thing to try to throw positive pebbles in the pond to make our world a better place. We have the solutions and we're ready to use them, so we need your help. Peace and love, everybody. Take care.
That stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one hand.
Ooh.
One hand.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Old woman! Man, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would... Please, please, good people, I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What? I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help! I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh.
Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're knights of the round table, we dance whenever we're able. We do routines, we call the scenes, we put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're rocked up mad in Camelot, we sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right. King Shaziz the Terrible. To serve the terrible and the knights of the round table.